Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast, episode 200.
Whoa.
Wow. And they say we wouldn't last.
Yeah.
Dave's just late one. Oh, sure. What was that?
That's telling me the Penguin game just started.
Way to start a 200 podcast.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Could you want to keep going with the theme song you were working on before?
I lost it.
You lost it? It was not all me.
Pat
had the beat. Yes.
I guess I got to go with your twist. Since it did blow my mind.
Hey, no,
we're going to have to start over.
I know. You're giving away stuff.
They don't know what his twist is.
Well, I do.
What's a twist?
Sorry. We've been trying to work on doing best of lists, and we had a little...
We failed.
We've had some discussions about what categories and everything. So,
but that's because we wanted to do the table reading of Batman, but Kyle refused to be Vicki Vale. Yeah.
Well, I felt you guys listening us do a table read of a movie for 2 hours seemed a little boring. Sorry. So.
I think we would have been quite entertaining.
I do, too. Although I think
we
all would have fought over being the Joker, though.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's me. I'll do it.
Okay, we can do this another time. Just not even you go for 200, you know, doing... Oh, jeez.
You don't want to do anything for 200.
That's not true.
At least we came up with stuff.
Last week,
what?
Before the podcast, we said, what should we do?
Rich,
we're like,
Rich came.
Another episode.
What?
Last week when we talked about beforehand, you were like, let's just do like a normal episode.
Yeah, you did.
Initially.
Yeah.
You were just like, I'm boring. Let's do this other
thing. You guys want to do so much planning, and like we're like a week away from Christmas here, so I'm not
big
into planning.
I know, you are generally averse to planning.
I am, in general.
So perhaps you should defer.
And let you guys plan it all? Sure.
We did plan it all, and you poo-pooed on it.
You want to do it? You want to do a?
We planned a list.
Yeah, you want to do? You wanted to read Batman?
Well, first it was Star Wars.
Yeah.
If we're gonna do Star Wars, I would do the Shakespeare version.
I was. Yeah, I'm down with that too.
Yeah.
Don't look at me like that. I'm cultured. I can do Star Wars Shakespeare version.
What are we gonna do?
Well, if we get questions from listeners that want to hear us read a. Do a dramatical
Wouldn't
reading
that be a
of Star Wars.
Not a question?
How many people would have
it depends. It could be, why haven't you guys done Star Wars Shakespeare one?
How many people would have to send us a message before we do it?
Read Star Wars, we will, yes.
That was
read
very like,
Star Wars.
I don't know. Effeminate Yoda.
that's how he sounds when you first see him in Empire.
Okay, yeah, he is kind of a little.
Yeah, it's not until he's discovered it, his voice gets deep and he like suddenly gets puberty.
He was smoking something in that
swamp. Off to a rousing start.
So many messages do we have to get before he decide to do that? He's been smoking that weird swamp stuff too.
Colin just checked out. Sorry. I don't know, Adam. More than two.
More than two people
would have to say they would be willing to sit and listen to us read Star Wars for 2 hours.
To it. They're going
to
be like, "Yeah, I want to hear that." That's
okay.
Colin.
Okay. Yeah.
That's so Vicki Vale. Yeah.
More than no.
We're going to do Batman.
No, we're going to do.
And if you message us, we guarantee Colin will do the voice of Vicki Vale. There.
I thought it was episode one Star Wars Shakespeare we were talking about.
No, it's not going to be episode.
Oh yeah. We got to start at the beginning.
Episode one.
Yeah.
Fine. Then you're Annie.
Yeah, and Jar Jar.
You're Jar Jar.
I'll be Padme.
Because she knows how to work a pole.
That's Natalie Portman, man. Jeez.
She did in like a movie.
Oh, that's right. She did.
She did know how to work a pole.
Yeah, that was
so there you go. That all worked out. Good job, everybody.
Yeah,
podcast.
Yeah, that's it.
So that's going to be podcast
episode 200.
202, because I already had plans for 201.
I thought
this doesn't involve any of you guys.
I told Colin it should have been 199.1, and we could have kept that going for a while until people were just like, "Where's 200?
You're getting a new cast for it?"
No. We haven't done a previews in a while, and since we're taking the next 2 weeks off, I figured I'd do one during that.
We're taking the next 2 weeks off.
We are taking. Wait,
let us know.
Yes, Adam told me.
You say you're going to flip the question tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, Adam said...
He kind of made the decision. No, I said we'd ask.
I don't
say
care.
We
okay, I was told there were no podcasts.
Last year we
weeks.
Did it on Christmas Eve. And
I said we could, but if you didn't want to, like, for the next two, after the 200.
That's not what you said. Okay, never mind then.
I said that to him today.
I wasn't here.
I know. That's what we were going to ask you today on here in the podcast.
There was no question asked. It was, here's what's happening.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm Colin McMahon.
This is a weird 200 introduction.
Joining me tonight are...
And this is how the band falls apart. Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
Yoko.
Rich.
Yoko. Adam's the one that ruined everything.
Yoko Russell.
As usual. Pat, was there any news?
There was.
I have a little editorial, but I need to recollect myself.
Yes, there was.
I've heard it and read it, and it's good. Solid.
Really?
If it's what I think
I don't know if I'm going to be able to read all my tweet messages back, but.
Yeah, you sent me your editorial, didn't you?
Which one?
You sent me some long thing.
Yeah, today.
That was about putting out of his butt.
He put something out of his butt.
No, not that. No. God.
You typed it. I just read it.
Can we restart this?
No.
Nah, this is good.
No. This is.
I agree with Josh.
We've already voted. It's anonymous.
Since when does that count? I'm just here to start trouble.
It doesn't matter which one.
It's gone off the rails. If anybody's still listening, sorry.
They weren't listening.
Pat, was there any news this
week?
Yes,
there was. Marvel is going to reprint Vision number 1 in Spidey Deadpool number 1.
Still plenty in stock.
Of Vision number 1?
Oh, yes. Plenty in stock.
Yeah, that seems like a weird book to reprint.
They're pushing that one. Issue 2 and issue 3, they are sending me extra copies so that I match my order of number 1.
I will say this. Every review and every that I've read and every person I know that has read it has said it's phenomenal. I mean, I kind of want to check it out. It's just past few weeks have been large weeks, so I've been buying the extra.
Well, part of the problem, I think, is what is Marvel talking about right now?
They're talking about Civil War.
Correct. They're talking about books that are coming out in March and April.
Yeah.
So that's one problem I have with them is that they don't talk about what's coming out. Why, you know, tell me why you're, you know, because Vision is so highly regarded and this is why you should be reading it. No, here's extra copies. They'll sell. No, they won't. They sent me extra copies of 2 and my sales dropped in half. So.
But here's the question I have, because they did this when Amazing Spider-Man number 1 came out in the last go-round.
Right, and they put Inhuman in it.
Right, and what they did was they did that to kind of justify the extra $2 price, because it was a shorter story, and then they did that and put that in there.
Inhumans was
in one? Is that what they're going to... Yeah.
And what was in the other one? Was it Black Widow?
Yeah, it was Black Widow was in one of them, too.
Yeah.
My question is that why they're doing that here, so they can bump the price up $2 and say, oh, well, you're getting more for it. Well, you're not really giving me anything I want, so why would I spend the extra
$2? I think those are normal costs.
Are they?
I think those are
normal
costs.
So for number 1, it'd probably be $4.99.
No, this one's $3.99. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just we're adding it in here for free to try and get people to buy these books.
Wow. I'm about ready to have, like, a coronary, because Marvel never does that. Something for free.
They did that in that in Spider-Man, they put that Inhumans book that you remember.
That's
that?
What we were just talking about.
Yeah.
We literally just said that.
But they bumped the price up $2.
I was listening this time.
Yeah, that wasn't Colin. That was you,
that was
Yoko.
God.
But it's like 3 weeks in a row we've had a discussion about something, and all of a sudden Adam's like, yeah, and how about this thing that we were just talking about?
Adam, when you start to talk from now on, you have to say Misa.
So, yeah. That's you.
All right, Jar Jar.
Drunken Master over there.
The X-Men Apocalypse trailer came out.
That looked really good. I did do a little editorial on that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the editorial that I
maybe. Saw. That was I put that on the
that was on the website.
Yeah. Only because after watching, I'm like, wow, this makes me excited for X-Men. And then I saw that on Bleeding
Cool. Did you literally say that out loud?
I probably did not. No, no. No. After seeing a different trailer, I said something out loud that I can't repeat. But
what trailer?
No, it was the Batman Superman when Wonder Woman showed up. I went, ah! I don't know how to. After watching it and then seeing that they're tying that into all the X-Men books. I'm like, okay, this is something I can get behind because the trailer had me excited about X-Men again that I haven't been for a long time.
I just don't know how they're tying it into all the X-Men books.
Well, it just might be an event dealing with Apocalypse.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anything to get people back on X-Men because it has not gone well.
And it surprised me, too, because every time a movie has come out from a different studio, Marvel seemed to, like, back off with their books. And it's weird to see them doing the opposite, embracing it this time.
Well, I think they're embracing it, one, because it's something they can get behind, something they can use as an event for the books. Because I think this one, they're definitely going to try to use the movie to sell more books. Mm-hmm. Where with Fantastic Four, they were worried that the books would get more people to go see the movie. I think that was the difference.
Even though it's the same studio.
Different studios.
No, they're both Fox.
Well, that's right. I was thinking so.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think they also are looking at, they need to prop up their X-Men sales.
Well, as X-Men has been such a big part of the Marvel Universe for so long. Not that Fantastic Four isn't, but that's one book, whereas X-Men has been, you know, 5-6 books at a time.
Not anymore. Inhumans, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
That's where the gold is.
Well, that's one thing I love today. This is a 5-Wednesday month, and we got both Inhuman books this week. I'm like, really?
Some people can't get enough Black Bolt.
Could be. He was screaming on the cover of Uncanny. Inhumans. Not X-Men or Avengers. Because uncanny is the word.
Word.
Bitch.
I thought bird was the word.
Bird.
DC announced that they're going to be doing Batman versus Superman covers in March.
Yeah, okay. And they're doing the bagging them as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't think that's a good idea.
Did they say, like, what the covers are actually going to be?
No, because what they have now
you might get a Batman, a Superman, or a Wonder Woman. That's just a total guess.
That would be my guess. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's dumb. Boo,
boo, DC.
But we'll know a little bit more next week when the previews comes out, or at least I will. I haven't gone searching for the info online.
The things that they showed online, like they had Comic Book Resources had DC's kind of previews of previews yesterday, and if you remember when they dropped the first trailer, they had posters. It was like Batman's face with a rip out and a Superman symbol. That's what it was, except for it had the logo for the books instead. I doubt that's going to be the stupid actual cover, but
if that's the actual cover, that's stupid.
Yeah,
because it'll be a bunch of the same covers just with a different title.
But you don't know. Are you going to get Batman, or are you going to get Superman? That's what I'm
saying. It'll be a bunch of, like, these three variants, just the different names in the eyes.
Yeah. Colin, I know you're going to love this one. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle 2 trailer dropped.
I did not see that.
Surprisingly good.
I know.
This trailer, like, it feels like they looked at the old cartoon and said, we're going to add everything in this movie that ties back to this cartoon to just make people look at this and say, this is a wacky, fun callback to the
show.
80s, 90s show, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't say, just there's a polybag edition.
Yeah, the Rocksteady and Bebop.
The van.
Yeah.
Shooting out the manhole covers.
Which wasn't, well, I don't know. I didn't have the van. No, we did have the van when I was a kid, but we had the pizza shooter thing.
Yeah, it shot pizzas back in the day.
Yeah.
I think that one shot, maybe somebody else shot pizzas.
It looked like a track machine. No, it wasn't. It had four wheels, and then it was this big green thing with a motor in there, and it
maybe
shot
it was a different,
little pizzas.
A different vehicle that shot that.
I don't remember.
There were some cool vehicles. Yeah.
Three polybag variants, pencils, inks, and colored.
Hmm.
I mean, not colored, you can't say that.
That's the same thing they're doing. That. Okay. That's the same thing that they're doing for the Harley Black.
So it's not just the movie poster with, okay.
They didn't get it.
I
did. I got it.
I was ignoring it.
Yeah, so it's neat. Yeah, Batman, Jim Lee, Detective, Raphael, Grandpa, Batgirl, Kevin Nolan, Grayson, Stephen Platt. I didn't even know he was still alive. Tony Moore doing Batman, Superman. Charlie Adler going Superman, Wonder Woman. Wow, that's kind of funny. Okay. How kind of name is that? Sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So that dropped. And then a teaser for Star Trek Beyond dropped.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel about that.
I've not heard good things about it. Somebody said it's Beastie Boys and they're riding dirt bikes.
Yeah, there's Sabotage is playing in the background.
Yeah.
which is fine. I like that song and whatever.
Isn't that what played in the first?
That's what somebody said, yeah.
Is
when
that?
He, when he stole his brother's, or he stole the guy's car?
Yeah.
Not his brother, I guess. His...
I guess, yeah, it was his stepdad or his uncle or something. Yeah.
Guardian.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. It's been a while since I watched that, but yeah.
Yeah.
That does sound right.
I mean, whatever. I mean, in First Contact, Zefram Cochran played
Magic Carpenter. Yeah.
The Phoenix.
That kind of makes sense.
The movie looks enjoyable, but it looks straight action movie.
Yeah.
And
Vin Diesel's going to be in it.
Yeah, Groot, yeah.
No, yeah.
No, Vin Diesel's
going, and then he's got the spaceship, and he goes, and a power slides, he hits the nitro.
You're an idiot.
Wow.
Fast and the Furious.
Mm-hmm.
That is the director, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And he's also doing Aquaman, I think.
You're not really an idiot, I'm sorry.
That's okay, I'll just sit here.
He's going to cry. Well, that's Adam checked out after I call him Yoko.
No.
No, he's just sitting there. And
go work your pole and have fun.
That's twice already tonight that you've said that, not that I've worked one.
That's a nice watch.
Now, the movie looks... like, I think that the people that became fans because of the JJ movies, I think they will
enjoy
this trailer. Like, my wife watched it, and she really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I still want something that feels like the
old...
Yeah,
what Star Trek was. And I don't think it's going to be it. Like, the Enterprise looks like it's blown up again.
Yeah. Which I started to question, like, you can't do that because it's... And then I went, oh, wait, no, it's a completely different timeline. It doesn't matter anymore.
Well, it looks like... I mean, it got pretty demolished last movie, and... They they rebuild it. It's the same
right,
one.
But you don't have to have the 1701D be the ship from Next Generation because the timeline's completely shifted. They could be up to Q at that point.
That's it. I saw someone post, like, at this rate, Picard's going to be on the M. yeah, I mean, it looks enjoyable. If it's an original story that doesn't try and take some other, you know, story from canon and retell it, I'll be happier with it.
Yeah.
So...
I like Star Trek Into Darkness. I thought it was an enjoyable movie.
It was an enjoyable movie. I did not like the ties back to Wrath of Khan. I didn't like the twists on things where...
Parts I like, parts I didn't. I didn't like the fact that they straight up just switched places between Kirk and Spock.
Stupid.
That I didn't like. I did like Benedict Cumberbatch as Khan. I was fine with that. Kind of his motives, I was fine with. I was okay with that. What I really had a problem with, though, is you brought a ship that's like five times the size of anything else they already have. You can't undo that. So now, because the Enterprise has historically been the flagship of the Federation, so that means that the ship that they're in can't be the Enterprise. It has to be that monster or something that size because it's now the, you know, the most important ship.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
I guess the thing I have is... when the timeline changed, when we had this diverging timeline because of what happened in the 2009 movie, what ripple could have been created at that point to suddenly, you know, make Khan and his, you know, other, you know, the augments discovered that much sooner by, you know, General Marcus and have this whole development thing go on? It just... they took so many liberties with the new timeline, and some of it just doesn't make sense to me without showing, like, how would this have happened? How would that have been escalated or accelerated?
It'd be Admiral.
Because they...
they're in the Navy.
What's
but
it?
It'd be Admiral, not
oh, yeah,
General.
Admiral Marcus, yeah, sorry.
And it's Admiral RoboCop.
I didn't like how Spock showed up in that one. The way he showed up on the screen, he was just like, oh, by the way, we dealt with Khan, and he was this and that, and then he just goes away.
Well, but the plus side of that, and Colin contained this, but Leonard Nimoy's dead. So they can't do that cheap,
yeah,
part.
It just seemed very odd for that movie, where it wasn't...
didn't think I'd be hearing the plus side, Leonard Nimoy's dead.
Well, no, no, it's not plus Leonard Nimoy's dead, but the plus side is they can't do that cheap...
Yeah.
Oh, well, here's how we found out about it. You know?
Just, it wasn't necessary for that.
I like the idea of the cameo,
the first one it was. I think the first
one
it was because
cameo.
It was a big plot point. That he was there. and it was part of the entire mm-hmm. time problem, but yeah, I liked the movie.
Continuity.
I liked to watch the movie.
They discover the Botany Bay when they're on their 5-year, extended mission. So it just doesn't make sense to me that would be already in play, well in play, whenever Into Darkness
rolls around. I thought that too when
around.
I saw it.
Yeah.
And then when they started getting into the whole, the reverse switch places and everything. I like Benedict Cumberbatch. Jeez. Yeah. In the movie, I just wish he was playing someone else. I didn't feel they needed to do Khan. Just yet.
Yeah.
But I'm still excited for this new movie coming out.
Maybe they'll put Worf in it.
He could be their lawyer.
Yeah.
Wasn't that odd that he was in that?
It's not.
It wasn't him, though.
If you look at, the canon, it says that it was
his great grandfather.
Grandfather, uncle, or someone.
That's weird.
But, that was kind of cool that they threw him in there, though. That and they had Captain Von Trapp as General Chang.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I were talking about. She was saying something about The Sound of Music the other day. I said, "You realize that, right?" She's like, "What?" I'm like, "The dad from Sound of Music was in charge of the Klingon army."
Was he the one who died in the book we just read?
Yes.
Yeah. Still with the eye patch.
I didn't realize that until I think it was last year. Debbie and Adele watched The Sound of Music, and I had never seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the room watching it. Adele got hooked on it, so we ended up having to get it for her. And after, the third time of seeing it in a week time span,
I'm like,
it's Christopher Plummer, right? Is that
yeah.
I'm like, wasn't he... And I looked it up, it was General Chang.
Yep.
The badass.
It's the next crossover. Sound of Music.
Sound of Music.
Star Trek.
In Klingon. So, that's what I got for...
Nazis will be Klingon.
The hills are alive with the sound of tribbles.
Yeah, there you go. So we're already right now.
That's the news, Colin. Back to you.
Well, did you see... I saw something the other day that
Thanks,
it looks
Jay.
Like some of those miniseries that DC announced are being mixed
combined.
And combined into an anthology.
Yeah, the Legends of Tomorrow thing. It looks like the Metal Men is going to that.
Which makes me sad.
Yeah. Sugar and Spike.
Yeah. Metamorpho.
Okay, Metamorpho, and I think Firestorm is the other one that's going to be in that.
Yeah.
But that's going to be in previews next week, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Which, it's kind of messed up, though, because they announced that months ago. And, to make this change... Legends of Tomorrow, you want to have a tie-in book for that, I understand.
But the tie-in book doesn't have anything to do with the show, it
seems
like. Well,
yeah, Firestorm's the only one that's going to be in it, as far as we know.
Unless we see the Metal Men in it.
It'd be pretty cool, though, if they show up.
It would be.
And I know that they're going to a digital-first series for Supergirl, but it's kind of strange.
Sterling Gates?
Yeah, you don't even have a Supergirl book, but you're doing a Legends of Tomorrow book.
Yeah, the Supergirl thing's a weird...
And Hawkman and Hawkgirl don't have books right now either.
They don't have books, but they're not headlining their own show. At least with Lucifer, the show starts soon, and the book just started today.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Was that a reprint, or is that
no,
a new series?
No,
okay.
New.
See, I didn't get it, because I thought it was reprint material.
It's a brand new series, man.
Oh, okay.
Written by, is your name Holly Black?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
I stand corrected.
So... There are copies in the shop. You can grab them.
Yeah,
I think there was one. Yeah.
Well, see, I've been ordering just a standard 10 on all the Vertigo books because it's real hit or miss.
No,
you don't know what's going to sell. So that one just had more legs. But I'll get more. Relax. Although Twilight Children, number one, is gone. Unfollow is gone as well.
That would surprise me.
Yeah. I haven't read number two yet.
I didn't think number two would sell that
well. Well, I think it's because of the TV show announcement. That's why. Editorial. it's funny. Something came up that I didn't realize. I saw it posted on the Comics Pro Facebook message board and looked and then emailed my couple people, one being Dan. And it was refreshing having Dan text me back and go, "I'm beginning to understand your position on Marvel." And Dan, as you know, opened his own store back last spring. And It's just kind of funny. They put out a book today that I missed a little, and I even showed it to Pat, and it was not a featured comment, but the new Deadpool 3.1 is all in Spanish.
Except for the last four words in the last panel.
So basically, now...
Did you buy it?
No, because I don't speak Spanish, so it would be a challenge for me to read it,
since
it's not translated in any way.
Sitting there panel by panel with your phone.
That's what I said. I'm going to have to get, like, Rosetta Stone so I can read a comic book.
Yeah.
You need a universal translator. Star Trek.
Yeah.
All goes back to Star Trek.
Babelfish. Ah! You know where that's from? Okay. My problem with that is that's something that needed to have a big warning. This book is all in Spanish. Instead, they just added in the very last line of the solicit in this all Spanish issue. So I guess technically they did their job, but now I feel that I have to read every Marvel solicit looking for things. Things that say, you know, this issue will be all blank. This issue won't have any color. You know, things like that, I don't trust them. Because now I have 35 copies of a book that I can't sell.
This issue has Squirrel Girl in it.
Well, yeah. But it's just, I now have to read every word they put so specifically and so carefully. So, and then the other problem is, it's like, oh, well, I'll cut my orders because I know this is going to kill Deadpool sales. Because giving people an opportunity to jump off is a really bad thing. And so you pick up this book. Oh, I'm not getting 3.1. Well, four ships next week. You know what? I didn't get the last one.
Let me ask you a question. Did you read Deadpool 3?
No.
They're doing it themselves. Okay. Forget about point one.
But then, so four's next week. And then the week after that is the Cable Deadpool miniseries starts. So it's going to be four straight weeks of Deadpool. And just throwing this all Spanish issue in the middle just makes no sense why they would do something like that.
Yeah, you liar.
Then I can't read
the whole thing. Changes.
He just learned it.
In addition to that, they came out with the Civil War prelude issue. Ooh. Came out today, and it's just
Abraham Lincoln.
Well, it's a comic. It's a comic version of adaptation of Iron Man 3, and it's like, why would you do that? Does that have to do with anything? And so I really just don't trust them right now.
You know, though, I think technically that does meet the definition of a prelude. It did happen before.
But it's not new.
All new prelude to... It is a prelude.
Right.
These events did take place prior to Civil War. So they're not technically wrong, but it is misleading.
It's misleading. And I feel now they're intentionally misleading me with the solicits.
Just me.
Yeah. But it's just one of those.
He gets different previews than everybody else.
Yeah. It's just a case of, you know, I just don't trust them anymore. And they're in the middle of this relaunch, which it was nice. I forwarded these guys an email from the Beat, or an article on the Beat website, talking about is Marvel's relaunch already stumbling? And it's looking at the actual sales numbers. I said, don't look at ones, because ones are, you know, inflated, and they're number ones. But looking at the sales of twos and threes, they're below...
Big drop-offs.
...where the prior issues were. So, and I'm just like, you know, with the books not doing that great, and then with them intentionally misleading me, it's just like, man, they are not my friends.
Did you read the comments on that, too? Like, people were just on there, oh, no, this isn't right, this isn't true. Mm-hmm. Marvel knows all, pretty much.
The comment that was the most telling was, if you take the Star Wars books out of the equation, they're selling what DC is.
Mm-hmm.
Which also says something about DC, because in the same article they talk about how Batman is selling between 105,000 and 150,000 copies. Nothing Marvel's doing is selling anywhere near that. But that also means that DC has some real stinkers out there as well in order to be selling on par.
Yeah. They do. But
what they're doing is crummy, though.
Well, I don't like having to read between the lines to figure out how to order a book. And why would you put out a book all in Spanish? Because, you know, this is Pittsburgh. You know, that might be a real neat idea in New York or, you know, Miami or Los Angeles. but that's not going to fly here. You know, how's that? And, you know, I always go back. Now, maybe it's a little different growing up out that way, but the old saying was always, how's it going to play in Peoria?
Yeah.
Meaning just, you know, the center of the country. How is an idea going to go?
One that in those specific areas that was translated already for that specific.
Yeah.
How is a Spanish language book going to sell in Peoria? Yeah. You know, not...
And I know I'm going to say something real unpopular here. Pittsburgh is about 20 years behind the rest of the country.
Yeah, no.
You know, I have lived all over the country. I've lived in Northern California. I lived in Southern California. I lived in Chicago. I've lived outside D.C. I've lived outside Baltimore. I grew up in Philadelphia. There are a lot of Spanish speakers in this world.
Yes.
They're not here, but they're just about everywhere
right,
else.
But are they all Deadpool fans as well?
Yeah. Who isn't a Deadpool?
I know, but I'm just saying, you have like a Venn diagram.
I get that.
Deadpool fans,
Spanish
speakers,
and which ones
how much is there?
I do understand that, but this
who
may be...
chimichangas?
That, actually, that was the comment that I said.
Right, no, and I get that, but, you know, it just seems like a big misstep to me.
No, I agree, and you know, I you didn't point it out to me. I saw it just myself, and then when I flipped open, I'm like...
Yeah, he was looking at it, and I just wouldn't look him in the eye.
So the only reason for them
I'm like, what's the matter, Pat? I don't understand.
The only reason for them to change over their book that drastically is by looking at their sales and saying, I'm selling this to a majority of Spanish-speaking
No,
people.
What they did is, Deadpool goes to Mexico. We should write that all in Spanish. Yeah, that's a great idea, Bill. Thanks, Tim.
And that's what happened. Yeah.
And that's what happened.
They're like, well, the Pizza Dog issue worked. And he spoke dog the entire time. So.
Yeah, but at least I can understand that.
When you showed me the book yesterday, looking at it didn't really show that just by the pictures you can understand what was happening.
No,
wasn't.
Jermaine
was
down
really
at Acme sat down and read it, and he's like, well, I think this is what happened, but I kind of need to talk to somebody who can translate it and let me know.
By
I'm
that
like,
time, it's just like,
what's the point
of
that? Oh, it's the first appearance of Machete, the Mexican Daredevil, or Massacre, the Mexican Deadpool. You know, who cares?
Yeah, I don't think Massacre's going to be the next big Marvel character.
No.
Watch, in 20 years, that's going to go for like $500,000,
yeah.
That book.
Well, right, I'll still have plenty.
You'll be retired by then.
Yeah, you won't.
Yeah, because he'll be able to sell all his Massacre books for $500,000
nice
each.
He's retired. Because like Christopher Lee, I'd expect you to be up and gone by that time.
He's in his mid-40s. You retire in your mid-60s.
Sorry.
So there's not going to be a 201, is what I'm... Shut up, Yoko.
Someone won't be invited to the 201. So do we want to get... So we decided to do something fun for the 200th episode. And we decided to coincide it with our best of list. You know, end of year type thing. That's another reason I thought this was the last one. Okay, I'm just going with what I was told.
When is
I
it ever
don't tell you
Adam
anything
says?
To do?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I should never talk to Adam or listen to Adam. I'm sorry.
I gave him the idea.
Do we have any questions?
Just like it's finalized here on the.
We
podcast.
Did have a question. James sent us a question. Well, you know, I didn't double. James sent us a question of what would we like to if we could have anything from a comic book. What would it be? Like the Batmobile, like Captain America's shield, that type
understand.
Of thing.
Yeah.
Well, no, because I double checked with him. I'm like, or do you mean something from like one of the ads? Because there were a lot of ads. I wish I, you know, was able to buy some of the stuff. You know. So that was the question.
And he clarified.
He clarified that that's what he meant.
The ultimate nullifier. Galactus could show up. I don't know. Seems like a good thing to have.
Okay. The Batmobile. And like I said, Sarah, I trade my wife for the Batmobile. But it has to be the real Batmobile. But I'm not picky. It could be the one from 66, or it could be the one from 89.
Here's the problem. You don't have a Batcave. You don't have Bruce Wayne's money. So how are you going to maintain the thing? Where are you going to park it at?
Yeah. You gotta
yes, you would
the,
have it. That would be awesome.
Of the realest things.
after, like, it'd be like getting a boat. Before you have the boat, it seems like a great thing. Once
no,
you have it, it's
you
a
have
pain
a boat.
In the ass.
People that have boats, their two favorite days with a boat is the
first
day they
last,
get it
and
the day they get rid of it.
I think 6 months after owning the Batmobile, you're gonna be like, this thing's a real hassle. Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Not unless I keep getting harassed by like clowns and stuff like that, then it would be.
That's what it's
gonna. You afraid of clowns?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
He's afraid of Alan Moore.
Clowns are kind of scary.
Who isn't afraid of Alan Moore?
Yeah, really. He'll put a spell on it.
But, yeah, I'd go with the Batmobile. But if you say, oh, it's such a pain in the ass, you can't have a Batmobile, then the Infinity Gauntlet.
Am I wrong, though?
No.
He's got a point.
No, I'm not wrong. Okay.
There would be a lot of maintenance. I get that.
Take it to hide. You can't just park in the street. Someone will steal it.
No, if it's the one from 89, it wouldn't, because I just had shields, and it would, like, cocoon up. And
really? Because Penguin's and his clowns...
But remember, the hubcaps drop hand grenades.
Yeah.
So anytime anybody gets near... I have cameras.
They got near it to put the little device in the bottom to take control of it in Batman Returns.
Yeah, but if I got cameras on it when it's parked, anytime somebody goes near it...
You think you know how to secure it better than Michael Keaton does?
Yes.
How about Batman himself? Not just Michael Keaton.
And Alfred?
Alfred's old. He probably has Alzheimer's or something. He'd be lucky if you remember where he parked. Unless it's Michael Caine, because Michael Caine could probably kick my ass for real.
Yeah.
But if it was the old guy that did it in 89,
okay.
Then,
guy, yeah,
yeah, whatever his, Jack, no, whatever his name is.
Look how long he played Alfred through all those changes in Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Did the Coca-Cola commercials.
Yeah. I think he did the OnStar commercial, too.
I like how you just took his thing and you were just like, this is ridiculous.
But I'm just going to run with it. Okay, if I can't have the Batmobile, I'll take
it. You can have it. You can have whatever you want. That's the question. I'm just trying to make sure you don't regret your...
He doesn't think it's realistic. He's just saying he wants it.
I couldn't regret it.
I want you to enjoy your thing that James is giving you.
James is giving me the Batmobile? Yeah,
he doesn't want it to be like one of those things where you ask a genie and what you want, and he's like $1 million and you end up with a bunch of deer in your house. That's what he's trying to get at.
Okay. Yeah, it would have to be the actual Batman, not a toy, not a model.
I think the 66 Batmobile would be easiest to like park and keep, because it's really just a car.
Yeah.
And the Nullifier, you know, you put in your pocket.
If you had a preference, which one would you take, though? If you got to pick which
that's
one.
That's the problem.
It has to be one that fits on the street.
No, it doesn't.
But you can drive? I mean, it takes up two lanes?
You would take the Val Kilmer one, wouldn't you?
No. I would either take the one from 89 or 66, but I don't know which.
I mean, the animated series one, that's big.
The one in 89 has to
be used. I'm already getting that one for Christmas.
89 couldn't turn. You had to show grappling hooks to turn.
Well, that was because he was turning at like 90 miles an hour.
Yeah.
No, they said it really couldn't turn at all.
Couldn't turn his head either, so.
Yeah.
Well, that's in the suit.
Not a lot of time.
No one said anything about me getting a suit. I mean, if the whole Batman package
comes,
then,
you're
going to
get
the
car,
you
got to get the
drive
suit.
Around like that. Who are you, Chris O'Donnell?
Yeah.
That was messed up. That's... Man. Now I have no career, and...
He's on a show now.
Very, you're on a show, yes. Yeah. He's been on NCIS Los Angeles.
I don't watch that show, so...
Okay. Oh, I tried.
That's because I was LL Cool J.
I don't know if that's a plus or a minus, but...
I drag it down more.
They're on, like, season 4 or 5, so obviously it's doing
well. He's not dead.
Okay.
He's doing pretty good for
don't
himself.
Don't watch the show.
He has kids.
I do too. That's not a good thing.
Can I say, I actually didn't mind him as Robin.
No, I didn't either.
I dislike like not even Alicia Silverstone much more. Like and George Clooney much more than Chris O'Donnell.
I don't dislike her. I disliked her as Batgirl.
Yes. Oh, yeah. She's hot. But
In like the Aerosmith videos, she was fine.
Yeah. Especially with the mute button on.
See, that's what you want from a comic book?
Alicia Silverstone.
From the Aerosmith videos?
No.
Not from Batman. Is
no.
We wonder why the podcasts are so long.
Yep. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, it's gold.
I don't
He's just trying to set me up for failure. I'll just keep fighting him.
It's going to be something
I'm
you want.
I'm just trying to shoot it regret it, that's all.
Do you want Jughead's hat?
Yep. Oh, that's a good one.
Give me a Jughead's hat.
I'll take Jughead's hat. Okay. You know, the first thing, I was going to stick with the transportation theme, because the first thing that came to mind was the Fantastic Car. Because, man, I hate...
You want
to
talk about maintenance problems?
Are you going to keep that at?
It's a bathtub!
Are we supposed to take that into consideration?
I like how it starts up, you started out with the exact same thing.
I'm surprised. Do you know what the registration fees would be on that? What
I can't give Pat a hard time and then let Dave say that without saying the same thing.
You can park it in a pocket.
If I can't have the fantastic car,
you can have it. I'm not saying you can't
have it. Jughead's hat.
Do you know the maintenance on that?
What is it, what is your problem with Jughead's hat?
Do you know how much dry cleaning costs?
Well, yeah, all the blood
of Jughead's hat.
What, that's your afterlife. People like crazy.
Even it's even Jughead, regular one,
it's Jughead's hat. I'm sticking with that.
I know what Josh is going to be. He wants that battle axe.
If I can have something from the comics, it would be the Eternal Warriors battle axe. Something that is forever unattainable.
Well, unless you're part of an exclusive club.
Unless you certain comic unless you send emails when told you can. Colin?
Pass.
Colin
pass?
No. Can't pass?
No, you can't. He he'll never ask a question.
You,
again.
What you need to say is the Infinity Gauntlet,
really
so you can go
something?
Like that, and we all disappear.
Yeah. I don't know what you want.
You don't want a Daredevil thing?
What?
His
deafness
staff.
Or blindness?
You don't even know what your favorite character's abnormality is.
The cane.
I'm just beaten down right now. Josh just beat me down too far.
Because you'll be like, I want blind. Where are you going to keep the blindness? My eyes? I don't...
Pass.
Okay.
We'll
come back to you, so you better know me.
Let's see. Well, I've only had... It's not Family Feud. I've only had time to think about this since Adam went, so I'm kind of trying to...
Yeah, but Josh and I argued for 25 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. That's all I was doing. I was trying to give them more time.
Yeah, I don't have that much history to go back through. So, and yeah, I don't want anything that's difficult to maintain. So, I think I'll go with the peril along with Dave there. I think I'd want Rorschach.
You can't have Jughead's hat.
Rorschach's mask actually is what I would think. I think that would be cool.
I think that would stink.
I don't.
Yeah,
think
I was going to say also.
It's got to be washable because you know Veidt was smart, so he would have factored in that whole like antimicrobial thing. You would think, or right? Cause he's
He'd probably kill you, though, before you got it.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Give me back my face.
Yeah, he'd jump out of the comic book.
Saw your hands off, or your arms off, and...
Well, the question was if we could have anything. It wasn't how
the guy in the jail?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm going with that.
I'm like, Marv did that in Sin City, but I don't
know.
Didn't
do anything of the sort. Not even Jughead.
No, I don't know, Colin. You can't think of anything.
Mm-mm. I got nothing.
He wants Hal Jordan's ring.
Do you know what the main...
No.
Of all the things...
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, but if Oliver Queen couldn't use it, I don't know if I'd be able to.
You just have to have will.
I've lost the will.
Obviously. All right,
you can
Padme.
Do like a yellow ring.
He doesn't invoke fear on anybody.
I do a blue because I have hope.
What about red?
No, I do a violet or the purple.
Compassion.
Indigo. No, indigo because we still don't know what it means.
Compassion.
Yeah.
Indigo?
Knock.
Yeah. Knock? Okay.
It's compassion.
I never knew. I read that for so long
there's
and gave up.
Though. I'd say blue, but...
I just remember one time when they all started talking normal and then it went away and they kept saying knock.
It was compassion, but they were all, like, criminals. That
yeah.
Were just,
that,
was
right, that was the whole point, was they were forcing compassion on them, which...
Yeah.
It's not compassionate to force them.
It was Abin Sur who did that, right? He created, like, a prison planet or something for... Yeah.
You could have the gauntlet that Hal has currently.
He did.
You don't need to have willpower for that.
Oh, Hobo Hal Jordan's.
Last week you called him a hippie, now it's hobo.
Yeah.
Well.
Renegade, or what was it?
Dirty. Renegade
so,
or
Dirty
Hippie.
Hippie.
Yeah.
Dirty Hippie.
Yeah.
So what's yours, Adam? The Ultimate Nullifier?
Nullifier.
Wow.
Yeah. It's cool.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Nullifies things.
Yeah.
Although when it was used in Original Sin, it worked in like a 10-foot radius.
Yeah.
It didn't nullify anything. Yeah.
Well, nullify stuff in a 10-foot radius.
Right. Yeah, but it was like the mindless ones. Yeah.
Yeah, they were kind of mindless to begin with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Best of
2015. Best writer. Dave.
Dave's the best writer?
Dave is the best writer. He works in a newspaper, man.
Nice,
he
Dave.
Yeah. For best writer, I am going to say Brian Wood. He did two of my favorite series this year, Rebels and Starved. And the Massive came back last week. So I'm gonna say Brian Wood.
That's a good choice. I like that. I said Jason Aaron for Southern Bastards. That's been really good.
He'd probably be my second choice, but it's not to denigrate Jason Aaron at all.
No, I mean, there's a lot of good writers.
I mean, there's so many
good
writers and artists. I mean,
and I like Aaron's take on Doctor Strange too.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's good.
I'm gonna go with Snyder again.
Of course,
I
did
that last year, and I just
because I didn't write a list down, so I'm going with
no,
my just list. Let me guess. Greg Capullo is your best artist.
No.
Okay.
But no.
Your best artist? Rob Liefeld.
No, that really is.
Rob Liefeld is your Rob. Best artist.
Adam likes pouches.
Mm-hmm. He does. He's big into pouches. Oh, he has pouches on his hats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go with Scott Snyder.
Rich wasn't prepared.
Yeah, I'm
going
to have to pass on all of these because I was not.
That Rich.
We don't have your email address, Rich.
Yeah, you're
that's
right.
That's why you didn't get in the email chain.
Yep. Colin?
Me, I put Mark Millar because Chrononauts I thought was really good. And
yep.
Huck, I haven't read issue 2 that came out today, but I like that. I know Jupiter's Legacy or Jupiter's Circle did really well. I didn't read that. And I just really like his stuff. So, I was trying to think of someone that really stood out to me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's been good.
Josh?
I picked Jeff Lemire.
Okay.
He's doing Bloodshot Reborn, doing Descender, did The Valiant, doing Hawkeye. I mean,
I don't know if you saw, I shared it today, that Essex County is going to be made into a TV show.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, more often than not, I absolutely love his books.
Where they find actors that look like his characters, that'll be interesting.
But the Essex County thing, I think, is going to be, it's a CBC show, so it may not be shown here.
Oh, well, it'll be shown here. They'll find, they want to make the American money. It'll come on some channel. But CBC is Canadian Broadcasting.
Yeah. Netflix or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. Okay, next category, Kyle.
Next category would be Best Artist. Adam.
Sean Murphy. For Chrononauts and...
Tokyo Ghost.
For Tokyo Ghost. Yeah. I told you.
I know, that's what I had too.
Same here.
I went with Jason Fabok for Justice League.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, I'll give you that. He's very good.
Solid.
But
it's just those spreads that Murphy's...
Oh, no, I mean, Tokyo Ghost
And more in Tokyo Ghost than Chrononauts, but Chrononauts had some pretty good ones, too.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Just amazing, but...
Dave, how'd we skip Dave?
I'm saying Benjamin Dewey, who's the artist on The Autumnlands.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just beautiful, beautiful work on that book this year.
Okay, best non-superhero book. Josh.
I picked Descender from Jeff Lemire and Dustin Nguyen. That's all we are, Colin.
That's why you picked it. Just so we could say that.
I'm sorry, I find it funny.
I have to go with Rebels.
That's what I went with.
Brian Wood.
For me, it's Birthright.
Oh, yeah. I didn't really have anything for this one, so I apologize.
Yeah, because you don't read any books.
No.
Wouldn't that be...
It is, but she is powered. So she does have superpowers. So I don't know. That's why I wouldn't include
I read that,
by the way,
the other day.
Did you? Did you like it?
It was okay.
Okay.
I didn't like it as much as I thought I would based on your other recommendations.
Okay. It ended a little odd, but I didn't know that going into it.
Mm.
Biggest surprise book. Adam. Oh, no, you already started one. Pat.
Okay. So I put two things down here, but for different reasons.
Okay.
Biggest surprise book itself was Shaft. I really enjoyed that. But as a surprise, I put down Afterlife with Archie for the mere fact that it's been 8 months since we've gotten an issue. And
when the next one's coming, it'll be a surprise.
Yeah.
Actually, I had somebody called today and say, so what can you tell me about this book, and when's it coming? I'm like, I don't.
I mean, it's...
Maybe never.
It is a good book. I assume it sold well, so why do we have to wait 8 months?
Well, I told you why.
Yeah, I know, but that was still 3 months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Why did you say why?
The artist is, or the writer is doing a TV show, so he put off doing it, and he finally turned in a script, but Francesco has his schedule's pack.
He has to keep
so, you know, he couldn't wait 9 months to get a paycheck, so he's doing other stuff. So
yeah,
they have to wait for his schedule to open up then.
Or get a different artist.
I think that's, I mean, they're going to have to do something.
Well, yeah, I would think that that's what they're going
to do. His art's so...
Oh, I know, but it's one of these things that's just like they...
But then Sabrina, too. Where's Sabrina been?
That's
yeah. That, you know,
same writer, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's the problem. So, yeah. Dave, we'll go that way.
I have a feeling me and Josh are going to have
biggest surprise book? Is that what we're on?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to say... I'm going to say Bloodshot Reborn.
Okay.
Just for the fact that I never read the character before. I just started reading it because Jeff Lemire was writing it. And I didn't think I would get into it at all, but... It's been a great book. So I'm going to say Bloodshot.
Interrupting this. That's what I do.
Yeah, that was a surprise for me, too, only because I've said this before. I did not like the character before this series.
Okay.
Like the previous series, I couldn't get into it. So it was a surprise to me that I liked it as much as I do. Me?
Yep.
Biggest surprise book for me has to be Prez.
Yep. Me too.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that book.
I had zero expectation going into that book. One.
Yeah, from the initial solicits, it sounded kind of goofy. But phenomenal book. The six issues were absolutely incredible.
Yep.
Teen girl becomes president. Shenanigans ensues.
Mm-hmm. Shenanigans ensues, correct. No, that's mine as well. Yeah, that one I thought was total out of left field. Never thought I'd be interested. Didn't realize it was a big political and social commentary. No, thought it was great. Adam.
That's it. I just said that.
Oh, you got the same thing. Pat.
I already said mine.
Oh, okay.
You made me go first.
Yeah, you made me go first.
I made him. Dave. Yes, I forced him.
Gun to my head.
Okay, Pat. Oh, wait, no. Dave, biggest disappointment.
Dave's your biggest disappointment?
Adam.
Yeah, okay, Adam, biggest disappointment.
Yes.
You want me to do that?
No.
No, he was going to
do that.
I'm going to say, for me, this is appointment. I wrote down Outcast.
Yeah.
Because it just treads water. It just seems to tread water every month and doesn't go anywhere. But yet, I'm dumb enough to stop.
Are you talking about Kirkman and Azaceta's Outcast?
Yeah.
You all cleaned up.
Yeah. So that was the only one I could think of for that.
Gosh.
Biggest disappointment book. Put two books down because they were equally huge disappointments to me. Old Man Logan and Planet Hulk. Terrible.
Okay, so I did a little theme on yours. I just put Star Wars tie-ins as a whole.
Secret Wars
tie-ins. Or Secret Wars tie-ins as a whole. it's on my mind. I really think they underperformed based on what they promised. It was a big blah.
I'm going to say Convergence. I knew where Convergence was coming from and all this, but with the move and everything, but the tie-ins were just, mainly the tie-ins. The main book was okay. Like, it did all right. The tie-ins, though, some of them I was expecting a little better.
Yeah.
But, you know, could have been better, could have been worse, though.
And I picked Cyborg because I liked David Walker's writing on Shaft. I liked what Johns was able to do with Cyborg in Justice League and just the it doesn't work as well as a standalone book.
That was a disappointment.
Biggest comeback book, Josh?
I chose Grayson. I've liked it from the beginning, but I do think it had kind of a rough start. It was dipping a little bit, but I think in the past several months it's really picked up and become a pretty terrific book.
I liked the last issue.
Yeah,
I know it was Robin Wore Tie-In, but I liked it.
Yeah, the past probably like 4 or 5 issues I think have been really good.
Dave,
I misinterpreted this question, this category, because I thought it was like, I didn't know it was supposed to be like a book that was bad. It got good again.
I don't think Grayson was bad.
Bad.
Okay. Yeah,
I've been liking Grayson from the beginning.
I was just gonna say, Darth Vader, just as a character, because he never had a book before, and now he has a book, and it's been really good. So,
there's no wrong answer here, Dave.
Unless Adam says it, then
true.
It's
true.
So I'm gonna say Vader.
Okay. I said Walking Dead, I thought the all-out war kind of was crap. But after that, they brought in the Whisperers, and I think the book is picked up in pacing as well as the overall story has been a lot better.
I think Superman made like a temporary comeback. That's why it, I kind of choose that
and
one.
It's gone back down
and
again.
It kind of went back. So like
that's a good one.
Yeah, all the John stuff is just a fun book, yeah. And then it kind of went. Yeah, it is. It's kind of like a roller coaster. So I'm going to say Superman.
Okay, I put Justice League. Not that it's been bad, and it's always sold very well. But I just think this Darkseid War is just kind of elevated it where it was kind of. I couldn't even tell you what it was doing before Darkseid War because it was post Forever Evil. I don't remember.
Well, then it rolled into Convergence. That was
yeah, but I don't remember exactly what was going on. But this was just out of the blue and just hitting a home run. So not that it was bad, but I just think it's really kind of out of the blue. I was just trying to think of a book that in the middle of its run suddenly really went up. And most books kind of slowly decline. This one is definitely on a big upswing. Best miniseries. I'll start with this one. Chrononauts.
Yeah.
I really, really thought that was good, fun, nice and short. I like it because it was four issues. It never felt dragged and never felt like it was extended just to get a couple more issues in. It was just boom, 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 over, and there is more coming.
Yeah, that's what I have too. And the story itself, I thought it was just a different take. I mean, we've seen time traveling before.
Yeah. But not where they decide to live the high life
throughout the centuries. Like, yeah. Which is really, if you think about it, that's what people would do. You know, it wouldn't be any of this. Oh, well, I'll try to preserve the timeline. It'd be screw that. I'm gonna live it up.
Dave,
I'm gonna say Archie versus Predator.
You would.
That was
an awesome series.
That
too.
Was just the That had to be the craziest book I read all year, and just a bunch of fun.
Search for Green Lantern.
That's another good one.
Yeah, I really liked that miniseries. That could have also been my biggest surprise book.
I was a little disappointed with the ending. Not a lot, but just a little bit.
The ending wasn't bad. It was just wrapped up a bit quickly, that's all. Like, if there was a lot of build-up.
It was convenient.
Just, yeah. Sudden ending. But yeah, as a miniseries, it was just a really great miniseries.
It was fun.
Yeah, fun, and just, it was surprising.
Very similar.
What was
yours?
Say?
Mine was Chrononauts.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Well, I knew Pat agreed. Okay. Well, Adam, then you can do best event.
Best event. Batman Eternal.
See, is that an event? Because I kind of consider that like a mini series, or, well, I guess technically it would be a maxi series, but.
It's a Batman event.
Okay.
I have the same thing, so I agree.
Okay. I didn't, coming from I didn't see that as an event. Saying, but
it's not necessarily a crossover either, so I'd call it more of a maxi series if anything. Okay. So, the Batman Eternal.
Pat?
I got Darkseid War, whereas I think the event itself was great, but the tie-ins were really good, too, and they added to it. But if you didn't read them, that's okay too.
Yeah.
But I really think that they added something. Oh, I did find it the Shazam one, where somehow they managed to find six other gods that happened to have the same letters in order to make it work. That was interesting.
Yeah.
Dave.
Yeah, mine's Darkseid War too. I think I only read really two stories this year that could be considered events. Darkseid War was one, which is the best, and the other one's going to be the worst.
I wonder which one that's going to be.
Best of it for me would be The Valiant.
It was
a really solid
that's a good one.
Event.
Okay, most disappointing event? Dave.
Secret Wars.
Yep.
I pick Convergence.
I have that in parentheses.
I pick Future's End. Only because
was Futures End last year, though?
Yeah, everything. They
most
both,
of it was last year.
It was, but they both ended in April.
Oh, did they? So. Okay, I thought they ended.
See, that's
why
that I had to
and it,
go between those.
And through the length of it, it wasn't the worst, but I just felt it really
the end
didn't stick the landing.
No, the end was bad. But yeah, it's a toss-up there between Secret Wars.
Even though
Wars
we haven't seen the end of Secret Wars, but I don't think it's going to make
Secret Wars on its own might be good, but just I think it's mostly the delays.
And that's why I didn't want to pick it for worst event or most disappointing event.
I think it's getting choppy at the end, though, because it's making us have to read the tie-ins a lot.
Well, that's too much is happening.
Which I guess, we're saying the word event, then that encompasses the tie-ins and everything. But still, Convergence, the same thing.
I had more of a problem with, and that's why I was saying with disappointing book, that I had more problems with the books, the tie-ins themselves, more than the event itself, like the main event book. Because the tie-ins, I thought, were just like, they're here. Where the book actually had somewhat of a story and
Not to say it was great.
It wasn't a great story, but I like it, you know. I've liked it better so far, so.
There were parts of Convergence I like, and some of the tie-ins I really liked. But some of them, especially the ones that came out, they were pre-crisis. Those were a little bit harder because I'm not as familiar with the characters, not as familiar with the storylines. And it was a little bit more of a slug to get through them. Whereas the stuff that was, like the Flashpoint stuff I really liked, even the stuff that was post-crisis, I had no problem with. I understood those characters. I was okay with that.
Yeah.
But Secret Wars, there's too much that happens either off panel or happens in a tie-in, and then the question is, well, which tie-in? Because there's 60 of them, and I can't, even if I wanted to, and even if money was no object, I can't read 60 tie-in books.
Yeah,
I mean, it's too much.
Yeah, it was just, by the end you felt really run down reading it because you were just like, oh god, there's another one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Spider-Verse was a candidate for this as well.
Yeah, I would say Spider-Verse. Although I liked Spider-Verse except for the end, and it's
I forgot about
the problem. The problem I had with the end was just, you know, the guy is super powerful and then just somehow out of nowhere they're able to defeat him, and I'm like, okay, this doesn't make a lot of sense. And then, you know, Scuba Steve was there helping him the whole time, and I know his name's not Scuba Steve, but I can't for the life of me remember what his name was.
Scuba Steve works.
Yeah. But I still think Secret Wars is worse.
I don't know, where are we going from here? I'm looking at my list.
Did you,
well, we added on Best Ongoing Book.
Oh.
Well, you want to go last?
Yeah, because I didn't know that.
Wait, did you do your worst event?
Did you? Mine was Future's End.
Okay. So I'll start and we'll come around to you. Best ongoing book, I put down Justice League.
I'd have to agree with that.
Yeah,
it would be with Batman earlier on, but not so much now. But Justice
League. That's why I'm saying it's not.
Yeah,
I was. Yeah, I was it's not between a, the two, but yeah. I think Justice League has been the best.
I think it's ongoing all year. Yeah.
What'd you say, Dave?
Afterlife with Archie, even though we didn't get an issue this year.
Well, I had that one for, I think, another category. But, man, it could either be, I could go with, I mean, I love Rebels. That would be up there. Or Southern Bastards, too. That book is just, it's very, just surprising every month. And just the character work being done, it is.
You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. It's just different, which, man, you wouldn't. Never think it from a book like that. But
like a box of chocolates. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like it's an X-rated version of the Dukes of Hazzard almost.
When Adam football. Shakes his head at you, you know you've done something wrong.
It's no good, Colin.
What's this on your list?
Yeah, he's blacked out.
Well, I know we weren't doing those two. We weren't doing those three, I don't think.
A lot of best all.
No, we can do best. Yeah. We can't do worst.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
best all ages, I'll do that one. Archie.
I think Archie's been really good. Archie's mine too. I think it's all ages.
It'd be a good comeback book too, really, because it just took
that's true too.
A different direction.
Is the new Archie?
And I'll put 500 points on my.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's all ages.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's definitely all dealing.
It's all ages in the best sense of the term, because adults can enjoy it, I think, as well as kids.
Yeah, I think that's why I think the best thing about this book is it's just anybody can. Just pick it up and enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah,
it's fun. So I don't know how many of you guys read.
I have Bizarro, kind of for the same thing. It was a fun book.
I think it had one of the best covers all year, where it had him dressed as Batman, Jimmy Olsen as Robin, but Batman standing behind them, like in the shadows.
Yeah.
It was kind of goofy and funny, you know, and adults can appreciate it, but it was fine for kids. There
Is
was
that
nothing
on
in
trade
there.
Yet?
No, the last issue just came out last month.
Oh, okay. I thought
this time next year it'll be in paperback.
Yeah, you're right.
That's accurate.
It's not that long.
That's accurate.
It's not that
in 6 months it'll be a hardcover, and then in 12 months it'll be a paperback.
No, they're not going to do that as a hardcover.
All right, it's eight months, not 12.
In episode 252, we will resolve this.
Yes.
Not really any movies.
Yeah, I don't have an all ages book. The graphic novels that Adele's been reading aren't new ones, so I couldn't tell you what good ones are right now.
Colin,
I don't really.
I wouldn't go with movies.
See, my problem, I only saw two movies.
And I don't think any of
which
Avengers
one did you like better?
Avengers 2 and Ant-Man.
Which one did you like better?
I give them both Bs, so
yeah.
I don't want to say anything.
I preferred
really
Ant-Man
fast.
Over Avengers 2.
Yeah.
I did too, but I reserved the right to change my answer on Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah, me too.
There we go. Okay. Although that could also, depending upon how episode 1 it gets, could also fall into the worst category.
As long as they leave trade federations out, I think we're good.
I think a lot of us are going to agree on, except for Colin, obviously, really, best TV show.
What do you have?
Flash. Yeah, because I do believe someone else agrees with me.
I just assume people like Flash.
I
assume
Flash.
A lot.
So. Best. My best movie
does not mean it's the only one you like.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Right. I like Flash.
I like all the
shows. Zombie.
Yeah, okay. I agree with Josh. Oh. I put iZombie.
Dave
only
was going.
Oh, I'm
didn't
sorry.
Go to movies.
I was following Josh.
I just want to say my best movie was best thing I saw this year was Inside Out.
Oh,
just an excellent.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't.
Oh, then best movie.
Yeah,
Mad
I didn't
Max.
Think we're just doing straight
yeah.
up best movie.
Oh, that's fine.
I looked at the four comic movies that came out and picked one of those.
Oh, yeah.
There were four. There weren't that. Were there four?
Kingsman, Fantastic Four, Ant-Man, and Avengers.
Yeah. We don't have much choice.
I've only seen two of them.
All of those.
Although I wanted to see Kingsman, I just never saw it.
Okay. 60 Minutes. No.
Yeah.
You love Andy Rooney, don't you?
Mad
with eyebrows.
You know what I don't understand? Why does Marvel always come out with all these books?
It sounds like
they put a Deadpool out.
And another thing, Deadpool can't speak Spanish. Why do they have that book?
Sounds like
it. See, Matt coming in, checking himself out, leaving. He's not ripping me off.
Yeah.
He had a smile on his face.
Yeah. 11 million points for me.
11 million.
Okay. Getting that whole so then, best TV show.
Yeah, I picked iZombie.
So did I.
Okay. I love Flash, but sometimes Flash does dip into being a bit too CWE.
Okay.
Same thing with Arrow. I feel like iZombie doesn't delve into that quite as often. Now, I agree with what you're saying, Pat. It does get a bit Scooby-Doo-y sometimes.
It does. Yeah. It does. But I kind of enjoy the fact that she's got a different personality every episode.
Yeah.
That's neat. Yeah. And they've definitely been very different. And I also like the constant theme story of trying to resolve the zombie thing, and then you add in with the boyfriend being the zombie hunter.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just like the whole package of it.
Yeah, what kills me with
even though I put it on my list, don't make any mistake about it. I like the show.
Yeah,
yeah. What kills me with Flash and Arrow is there'll be something where they have to save the world or save the city, and there's this huge relationship talk before they go do that, and like, give me a break, just go do the thing.
Well, yeah, in the crossover. Everybody dies because him and Felicity had a fight.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't think so. Get your stuff together.
I think that show has dropped. That's
and even
the
in the even
dropped.
In iZombie, whenever you have the stuff with her and Major, it doesn't quite delve into that level. So for me, iZombie, I also had a slash
episode, I mean,
not that Daredevil was bad, but just on a weekend.
You know what? I didn't even
think
that
of that.
Yeah.
Oh, forget Flash.
You know what? Forget Flash. I got to go with Daredevil.
Yeah. But on a weekend thing, that's that one I always hit first on the DVR. When I see there's a new one,
Daredevil.
I always go to that.
Yeah, same here.
That's all.
I forgot
it's
Daredevil
because
I almost thought of it as a movie because I watched it.
Yeah.
That and Jessica Jones, the same thing. I just binge watched.
That's why I had trouble picking that
Daredevil
as a TV
really
show
good.
Because
yeah, type of
these are you know
just how
weeks.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Gotham was going to be ours.
My best?
Yeah, I thought you'd like, you just love Gotham.
Oh, you're being sarcastic.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, I see what you did really there. Good at it,
though. What the hell is going on here? Dave, what's your best TV show?
As far as comic book related, I'm going to say The Flash, because I don't look forward to any show each week like I do that one.
Yeah, it's tough between those too. Like Daredevil, just a really good, but
just
basic.
I'm
TV
giving
is
The Flash.
You did Clicky the sign this one.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's just somebody just pulled up.
Poorly.
Don't look close.
Well.
We're having a meeting.
No, and I I agree with what you're saying, Dave. That's the one I look forward to week in and week out. It's the one that watches most like a TV or like a comic book would read.
Yeah.
When you can pull off King Shark on TV, you've done something.
Yeah.
And you know, because we also like the Flash is only on its second season, and it doesn't feel that way because they've done so much.
I know.
Now, I didn't like the fall finale because I think it's repeating too much of what they did the first season.
I wish for the second season it wasn't another speedster as the villain.
Well, had they not done Legends of Tomorrow, they could have done the Rogues.
Okay.
And really did a formation, but since they're pulling out Captain Cold and Heatwave, that makes
it
hard.
Yeah, I feel like the Rogues should have properly happened in Flash before Captain Cold goes off to do something heroic.
I thought that at the beginning when they decided to use Reverse Flash, then second season they're like, okay, now let's just use Zoom, and it's like it's the same.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I wish they'd work using
Zoom. Yeah, one's a little seems a lot faster.
And then I wish in the finale that we didn't have Harrison Wells
kind of go
back into being, you know, possibly. Mm-hmm.
Although I think that
I mean, he's not really.
That's
a bad
really
guy,
lazy
but
writing if they do that. So I'm hoping that, you know, he's kind of setting
that up. I
think it's
mainly because of his daughter.
I know why he's doing it, but
he wants Flash
to
get
up as another
faster
antagonist.
Yeah. So he's really helping Flash, and you know, it can be on the secret. He's helping Flash to help Flash, but has to make it look like he's helping Zoom. If that makes any sense.
Now, Zoom siphons powers, right?
Right.
So that was the reason why he's wanting, yeah.
Yeah, he wants Flash to get faster because that makes him more powerful.
But he could also make him too fast that he's able to defeat him. So. Yeah.
The one thing about doing the Rogues, though, and I love Mark Hamill, that version of the Trickster's got to go.
It was a good Christmas episode.
That was a good.
Though.
Well, no, that
I
was.
I actually love. I love.
It was good for the '80s, and it was a very '80s over the top performance. Versus the tone of the other Flash villains, I think it's a little too over the top.
I don't know. I like
it. I think they can do lighter episodes, though. And you're watching, it's not so much of the drama and all that. It's a fun, like, villain.
I like him
for that. Not to use him as, like, you couldn't use him as, like, a main villain.
Now, I don't
want to
see him in the costume he was wearing
in the 80s.
Yeah. The 90s or whatever it was.
He's also a very different character than the rest of the villains, because I mean the other ones have been evil, whatever.
Which
he's truly psychotic. I mean, he wants to blow people up.
Yeah.
Which
I think that's why it works, because it's something different, not more the same.
I like how he likes to give gifts that have weapons in them. Like every time you see him, he gives a gift. Like remember the one with the balloons and he was dropping them.
Yeah.
And then this one he's giving them as Christmas presents. Mm-hmm. That's his thing, but. No, I just found him fun. Like I that episode I really liked. Just
I like the
light
episode,
Christmas
but
episode. Like,
mm-hmm.
No, I get what you're saying.
He's a little over the top.
A little over the top sometimes. Yeah, they couldn't use him too much.
Yeah, but if they did the Rogues as a thing, that's the problem. Is you have to have.
Do you think the Rogues could handle a season though of just the Rogues?
Well, it depends on who you have. Oh yeah, we're going to 11 tonight. Just stop.
Oh no, that is nothing.
Oh okay. No. You got Pied Piper, the top, Golden Glider, Heatwave, Captain Cold, Mirror Master, Weather Wizard. I mean, there's enough characters in there.
You're going to go to 11, meme.
He's lost it that time of the night.
Apparently, we said something funny that I'm not aware of.
That has nothing to do with you guys.
No. Oh, okay.
Anyways.
So what do we got? Biggest? Are we still doing? Did you get that? I didn't. Oh, okay. We'll go. Best twist.
Well, what's your best twist?
Oh, mine? End of Convergence. I didn't see that coming. I thought that was an interesting twist. They haven't really done a ton with it, but I think it's coming.
Well, except for Earth 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just we're getting rid of the effects of Crisis and stuff like that. I thought that was interesting. You know, something I definitely didn't see coming.
I think it's going to open them up for a lot.
Well, yeah, Parallax. So far, Parallax just showed up in Green Lantern.
Yeah.
So.
Jerk.
That's a tough one, though.
He is a jerk. The biggest twist. He's like ripping yellow Parallax. Lanterns apart. They weren't even doing anything. They were just flying in space.
What was his goal at the end of?
Oh, they were probably doing something.
Of, when he decided to go with them, what was his goal? Like everybody seemed to have something that they were going to do. Like. They were going to stop Crisis or whatever. And Parallax decided to go with them as well, but he had something he was going to do. And
apparently, this is what he was going to do.
Like, kill the Yellow Lanterns. I want. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. Yeah, but a bunch of people did bring it into it.
Josh.
I have to credit my biggest twist to Pat, because
Pat was your biggest twist. Wow. Okay.
I didn't think he would kill a robot.
True. No, say it right. Thank you.
I don't know why you didn't give Adam Warlock hell about that. He's the one who actually lives there. How do you know he's not the one that killed the robot?
He doesn't seem like someone who actually would beat up a robot.
No.
You do.
True.
I'm afraid of the Terminator. I can't help it. I saw the Terminator when I was a kid. I'm like, at all costs, I have to stop Skynet from taking over.
Okay, well, then there's the answer to your question.
Okay.
But no, Suiciders, the twist with Straniero and the Saint, which I didn't get at first until Pat, held me by the hand and pointed me to all the clues and it blew my mind. So that would have to be the biggest twist.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
That was actually mine too, because that was when I was reading it. I was reading it
today,
as linearly, not as a non-linear story.
When I was struggling to think of a twist on it at the last minute, you reminded me about that one, so.
Good job, Pat.
Yeah. So, Pat, credit to Pat all around.
I have my moments, including killing robots and stopping Skynet.
That too, yeah.
Did you think of a big twist, Dave?
I couldn't think of a twist.
Oh, you said the blood thing.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go. Can I go to a TV show? I'm going to go back to the Flash.
I know one, Dave. The lipstick incident.
Oh,
okay. That was a huge twist.
The lipstick incident, yeah.
Archie.
That's good.
Yeah. Oh,
hashtag something else. The lipstick. But I'm going to go to a TV show and the reveal that in the Flash that Eobard Thawne took over Harrison Wells. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one that surprised me the most, and it's the only one I can think of.
that was a twist, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was,
he was definitely Harrison Wells Flash,
that
and he found out
me.
It
that
wasn't.
That surprised me.
Yeah,
I didn't see that coming at all.
Adam?
No, I don't know.
You had a twist?
No.
What?
The lipstick incident. There you go.
What is the lipstick incident?
Looking forward to in 2016. Now, sadly, I don't know what my answer on this was. I wrote more. I don't know what that means.
Brisket.
Brisket. There we go.
More brisket.
More brisket. Yeah.
I put down Valiant announced their next event, 4,180.
More axes, I get.
More axes.
Axes?
No, not more axes.
Oh, no.
I would say that could have been a contender for worst event, but no one read it.
Like, we're on it.
but their next event, 4,180, takes place in the future of the Valiant Universe, like with Ryan and those characters. It's supposed to have a big impact for where the Valiant Universe is going. I'm pretty excited for when that comes out.
Dave?
I'm looking forward and hoping, beyond hope, that we get an issue of Afterlife with Archie.
Nah.
No, we said 2016, not 2017.
Yeah, I think you're being generous there.
Yeah. Batman versus Superman. I'm so looking forward to that.
I'm pretty excited for that.
Yeah.
Tons of movies coming out in 2016.
There are. There's like nine.
When we get the best movie next year, there's going to be a lot to pick from.
Yeah.
Just in the comic book realm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does DC have three movies coming out? Is Wonder Woman Suicide Squad?
No, not Wonder Woman. It's Suicide Squad and...
I thought Wonder Woman was August 2016.
Oh, is it?
No, it's 2017. It's they haven't started filming it yet, or no, they just started filming it. So, no, I think it's just two this or next year.
No, I'm going to look this up.
Yeah, I don't know.
If it goes this way, Batman, if the artist does become Sean Murphy, because I know it's have they finalized that at all?
No, I keep hearing that it might be some other
Batman
thing.
Yeah, they just keep jumping all over the place. But whatever the case, I mean, even if he's on something like that, I'd really look forward to that, him being on those books.
Have they announced who the new writers are? They?
Yeah, that. Mm-mm. Yeah.
But Capullo's leaving after 50.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
Yeah, you're right, Pat. June
23rd, 2017.
Okay.
Yeah. Jeez.
I said you're right. What else you may do?
Sorry.
God.
Dang.
It's like we're on, like, drugs or something.
And then, best new book. Dave.
Oh, gosh. I need to think of the best new book.
I'll go. Come back to it. Rebels.
Okay. I deal with that.
That
follower.
I know.
Well, he has his
best... Be a rebel, Dave. Pick your
book. No, Dave had his best book overall.
Well, yeah, pick it. Show some love.
Dang.
Stop bullying Dave.
Go ahead, Adam. We'll go back to Dave.
Dr. Fate.
Okay.
I feel like that's dipped.
A little bit, yeah. But we'll see.
His expectations.
I
want to
see what this. Yeah, I want to see what this next one is.
Me, Colin? We Can Never Go Home. I really enjoyed that one.
We can't.
Best new book for me is Bloodshot Reborn.
Can't keep picking the same thing all the time, man.
That's the only time I pick Bloodshot Reborn.
Dave,
I'll say.
Oh, that's right. Dave picked that. Sorry.
Yeah. Man,
I could say Bloodshot too, but I could say I'll say The Autumn Lands.
Oh, okay. You have been a big pusher of that.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a fun book.
It's a good book.
I think the break hurt it a little bit. I can tell by yours.
Yeah,
too. I was checking.
I was. I know when it was coming out, I was just shocked that he was able to do that kind of art every month. But they did take a break of a few months there.
The first arc was really good.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in that book. A lot of interesting stuff.
Okay,
that it?
Did you get with that one? Biggest drop-off book?
Yeah, I didn't really... Okay.
I have one.
Yeah,
Aquaman.
Yeah.
I think Aquaman has been. And it went somewhere...
Ever
like,
since Jeff Johns left, that book has been in a bit of a decline. Now,
even
Jeff Parker wasn't bad.
Jeff Parker wasn't too bad, but...
No, but...
He kept the
it
theme
wasn't,
going.
It wasn't the same level as Jeff Johns. It was a slight drop-off then, but good. Colin Bunn, man,
Yeah.
We could name a whole podcast that.
It just...
Colin Bunn.
I was really done with that book. When that issue came out, when they revealed Mira, the Mira wasn't Mira, I was like,
And I don't even know if I can blame a lot on Colin Bunn. If there was a mandate from DC to say, make drastic
different changes
to these characters.
I don't know why, if that's the case, and it might not be
him,
but
time,
what was their point of doing
it? Or it may also be the fact that he's on, like, 95 books right now.
Yeah, at the same time, even if DC said, make a drastic change, it doesn't mean you can just write it poorly. I feel like his writing's been bad on it.
It also felt very rushed of a book. Like, they were explaining all this stuff going on.
The art was
very disorganized.
Wishy-washy.
You know, like, they were explaining this here and that there. And
see, I thought you liked the
art.
I thought you liked how it was, like, one style for the present and then one for the past.
I like when you change the style for the present and the future. However, the art in some spots looked great.
Yeah.
In some spots just looked awful.
Oh, okay.
It was really
weird.
Like,
especially, like, the faces and yeah, it was...
Yeah,
some were good, some were bad.
That was my biggest
drop-off
book. I was disappointed because just the Jeff Johns run. Aquaman since New 52 was just really fun.
Yeah.
I just was starting to like the character and then that. And if you take Aquaman, you make him good, and then you're able to do that afterwards, it's just like, why did you change it?
Yeah.
Like, you had a formula that was working, and you're like, no, let's do it differently, you know.
And now they got to make Khal Drogo Aquaman
it.
In order to make it.
They didn't
it good.
Go by that, so yeah. So yeah, biggest drop off for me.
I picked Harley Quinn. I really liked it up to Convergence, and then after Convergence, they had the Gang of Harleys thing, and I'm just like, nope, I'm done.
Even after today with Deadpool? Are you going to totally, or are you just dropping that one issue?
I can't count that.
Yeah.
You know, because that was a point one anyway.
Oh, okay.
But even, like, the main series, because now it's like there's a gang of Deadpools.
Yeah, you said in the last one you were thinking you were kind of not into it.
It's
anymore.
Meh.
Yeah.
And they're almost equivalent, because the Harley Quinn book was really like the Deadpool book of the DC Universe, where it was there, it was part of the New 52, but wasn't. It was kind of off on its own, doing its own thing, which was fine. It got a little repetitive, but it was a decent book. It had some laugh-out-loud moments in it. It got tedious, and it was one of those things where if I'm not enjoying it, I'm not going to buy it. Dave?
I think it's going to be a tie between Afterlife with Archie and the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, because they both dropped off the face of the earth.
You're really angry about this.
Yes.
Yeah. But
they were two really good horror books that just disappeared.
And it's not because you dropped off, it's because they dropped off.
I mean, literally. I mean, the book has
quality
been,
didn't drop off,
the quality
it's just the
hasn't
books themselves
off.
Disappeared.
How many Afterlife with Archie came out this year?
Two?
The last one was in
May. We're
still
under number 10.
Yeah.
The last one that came out, I think, was number 8.
Yeah.
Which, it has a July cover date on it, so it came out in May.
Oh, I almost feel like that was it.
The book came out. Did more than one issue come out? I can't even...
I don't know.
Yeah, I think like...
I think a couple came out.
Two or three.
Okay.
They had this little comeback.
Yeah,
that very and little. Then inside of the book,
like we're still in the middle of an arc, I think.
Yeah.
Betty must die.
I think
Betty
it was in that
R.
book. They were just like, "We're never going to let this happen." It might have been Sabrina, but they in their letter column, they're like, "This isn't going to happen again." Stuff
that
like
was Sabrina.
Is that Sabrina?
Yeah.
But they just it's gone.
I remember you guys were reading Sabrina, and I wasn't, and someone talked me into trying it out, and I bought all the issue like 1 through 3 just before 4 came out, and then bought 4, got all caught up. And then and huge drop off.
Great job, Josh.
Now, if it is the writer's issue, is there any fix to that book though without him? I mean, you really would have to get rid of him.
Here's the thing: the problem I have.
You added August,
I noticed
it's work
he
the
wrote,
same way.
He wrote Monday's episode of Supergirl.
What's he doing?
He's writing Supergirl.
Afterlife with Archie.
Here's the problem I have with the writer not having enough time. Colin Bunn can write 20 books a month. You can't write a TV show in...
Well, he didn't say write well. He just said he writes 20
right.
books
okay.
a month.
Like, you can't write a TV show episode and a book? One book? How many books is this guy on? 2 that I know of.
I don't know.
All these other writers are writing so many books.
Yeah.
It's just like anymore, what's the point? Like, after a while, it's like...
Yeah, but that's...
I'm saying this
the
is
last
if I could
issue,
do it.
The
I
last
do it,
issue
but. Yeah, but
dealt
you're not
with... It wasn't
writer.
Really
yeah.
totally about the story that was going on. It took place in the mansion.
Varchi, yeah.
Yeah, and that was
the,
it. It was
the
almost
Shining
like it's
book,
a,
right?
It was, only, it was almost like a special,
cover.
If anything.
Yeah, he's juggy.
Well, no, but it wasn't just a great cover. It was also where he's talking to Jughead like it was the Shining.
Oh, yeah, no,
yeah,
the
like
whole issue was great, but I love the cover. Here's Jughead.
Yeah.
All that was missing was the two twin girls... We want to play with you.
It was. It's a good series, but yeah.
Yep.
Reggie on a trike.
Is that it?
That's it. That's the list.
Wow.
We're
done. So that goodbye. Oh, wait, no. But wait.
What's coming out next week?
No, we still got an hour and a half to go. We got to talk about books.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some books came out last week.
Books?
Yeah, Adam doesn't want to talk about books. He also doesn't want to do any more podcasts this year. Adam's Mr. Debbie Downer, man.
He is.
That wasn't what was said.
Yeah, it was.
No,
yeah, it was. He said no more
That's
podcasts
how it came
this
across
year.
To me.
You were here. That's what we just talked about.
Right. I wasn't here, and then when I got here, I was in form. So that's how it came across to me.
That was Colin's fault.
Shoot the messenger.
Pat.
Yoko. Okay.
Yeah.
I only talk about a few because I did read a lot.
I
read 14.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I thought I didn't read very many.
The Walking Dead. So,
The crux of the issue was that Rick went down and had a conversation. He was seeking counsel from Negan, of all people. And it made me think, I don't know how they're going to get this character on TV. because there's nothing he says that will work for TV. But it was all good stuff. But the thing that Rick kind of said to Eugene after he talked to Negan, which I don't know why they haven't done this before, is they're going to build an army. And I always thought, why would you not have a standing army? Especially after the events that happened with Negan. You know that there's bad people out there. Have people trained, ready to go. So if something happens, you're ready to fight and you don't have to worry about all this other stuff. I thought this was a comeback book for the year, and this is part of the reason why. It's actually doing something. Rebels. The story of Stonehoof, which was, I forget what tribe he was, and I started to write it down, but he was,
I didn't write that down, I don't know.
He was a Native American that helped the British build a fort, and then during the French and Indian War, his tribe sided with the French, and he goes back to the fort, and one of the guys that he befriended as a child is still there. He kind of makes sure he doesn't kill him, and then after the battle goes back and finds the guy in the woods as he's collecting water and says, you know, essentially, you know, the French used us, but the British are no better, and the next time we see each other, I will kill you. I don't know if poignant's the right word, but it was a very well-told issue about how, you know, the natives that were here didn't really have a choice. They were going to fight one way or another. It just mattered whose side. And they talk about how even though tribes kind of had traditional hunting lands, it was really the British and French that walled off these lands and had a different take on ownership, which, of course, we already knew. But they kind of humanized it through this one character.
That's what I love about this series. I mean, Brian Wood has just taken on so many different kinds of characters, and you just get into their heads, and it makes you think about what's going on in their minds, you know, that you never thought about during the Revolutionary War period, that these are actual real human beings and have these emotions and ties to other people, and it's just amazing. I read, Pat, that number 10 is going to be the last issue of this series.
I didn't know that.
I read that somewhere and I can't remember where.
Well, the first five were all the well-regulated militia story, which was Seth Abbott. And then since then, they've been one-shot. So I'm wondering if it's going to go back to another story. Maybe, like, it'll take a break and then go back to story. I hope so.
I hope so.
Has really been a good series. I'll be disappointed if it ends.
Excellent.
But.
And it's been excellent.
Next, We Stand on Guard, number 6.
Yeah.
Who won?
It
didn't end well?
That's actually the question. Who did win?
Not us. Not the people that bought this book. Yeah. I shouldn't have listened to you when I was going to drop it.
You said issue 3,
it's only six issues. Yeah. Just keep buying it.
The ending was a non-end.
Well played, shopkeep. Yeah. You got me.
Trust me, you weren't alone in wanting to drop it. There's a lot left.
No, the ending was a non-ending, and that was part of the problem.
This whole miniseries was pointless.
It was.
Yeah.
I really liked the first issue, even the second issue, and I thought that this could go a lot of places.
It barely developed any characters.
Yeah. No.
Barely had any resolution. It was... We'll blow this up over the arsenic.
Yeah, that was
and
like...
And they'll all withdraw.
Yeah. Well, no, I get that, because it ruined the water supply, and that's what they were after
anyway.
It was
such a lame
kind of like, what's the
ending.
Point? that was kind of my point with it. It was stupid.
The whole series was a big letdown.
I have to say, what really perturbed me too, going back to the Spanish Deadpool issue, was the lines in French in this book. And they were in. I mean, I had French for 4 years in high school. I didn't understand it, and they just seemed like important pieces of dialogue.
That didn't bother me too. I kind of caught on what he was saying contextually. Without actually knowing what
it didn't bother
said.
Me until they made it clear that that character knew how to speak fluent English also. So then I'm like, so why are you presenting it all?
Because French Canadians are just that way. Yeah. I don't know. Did you know in Canada, if you don't have an insurance card in both French and English, they can impound your car?
Really?
Yeah, because they can say, I don't speak English. And so since it's not in French, as far as I'm concerned, you don't have an insurance card. Yeah, it's goofy. It's called a Canadian rider. So if you ever go to Canada for whatever reason, just ask your insurance company. I don't even know if I'm going to talk about this, but Secret Wars.
Yeah!
I only put down two words, steamy pile.
Ooh. Stuff happened.
I didn't know. It's not that stuff didn't happen. It's... Too much stuff happens outside of the book.
Yes.
And
for it to be going on in tie-ins, when did they come out? What's going on? Like, before I read it, this last one, I read Siege 4, and that was a really important issue. Not all of it, but just the parts of Thanos talking to Ben Grimm to convince him to go confront Doom.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why would you put that in a random... miniseries that didn't really have anything to do with anything.
Right, and then, you know, there were that true, like, Civil War and House of M, which really had no bearing on the main story. So, as a consumer, I don't know which one to buy. And the answer isn't just buy them all.
Right.
I mean, I have to know which ones are important for the story, which ones aren't. Because that kind of happened with Red Hood and the Arsenal a little bit, too. But as a tie-in for Robin War, but the Secret Wars thing, it bothered me too much. It was just too much that happened that I wasn't aware of. So when I'm on page two and I'm lost, that's a problem. I won't hit the Robin War title, because I know other ones read that too. But I will say Red Hood and Arsenal. I hadn't been reading the series. After reading this issue, I won't read the series. The interaction with Tim and Jason I liked, but then it was kind of like going back to their backstory. If you remember in, I think it was Batman and Robin Eternal, they had specifically said Tim Drake was never a Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they talk about it in here, and what Tim says is, well, after Jason died in the line of duty, he didn't want to take the name Robin, so he took the name Red Robin.
Yeah.
Which, oh. You were Robin, they just didn't call you Robin.
Oh.
So it kind of clarified things up and muddied the water a little bit. But other than that, it really didn't tie in too much. It was like one of those Red Sky tie-ins from Crisis. And then the rest of the book was Joker's daughter, who apparently works with them now, and Arsenal. And it I'm just like, okay, I don't know why you made this a tie-in, because it really doesn't have a lot to do.
They presented it as a loose tie-in. They didn't say it was one of the parts.
No, they absolutely did. It said a Robin War tie-in, and it kind of, there was side information that kind of, like I said, it explained that point about, kind of clarifying what happened with Tim Drake.
Yeah, I was happy to see that I did not have to pick it up to get the main story.
Yeah. Because I didn't pick up Gotham Academy.
Yeah.
And after reading that, I won't pick up the other tie-ins.
The difference is, I've heard Gotham Academy is a good book, whereas this book I've heard is not.
But I've never read any of Gotham Academy. I was reading Red
Hood. It's
more
of like an all-ages, younger audience book.
Codename Babushka. It's an interesting story. It's a female mafiosa from Russia who is now she's working. It's not the CIA, but it's basically the CIA. They have her on this cruise ship to get a USB stick that apparently has all this data on it. And it gets taken over by Somali pirates. And we find out in this issue that her, he's not really her boyfriend, but kind of is apparently the one that set this whole thing up and has double-crossed everybody. But it's been an interesting series. It reminds me a lot of Red One, except for it didn't end in two issues and just pissed me off. Well, if it's going to end in two issues, you say part one of two, not you advertise as a running series and you end it in two issues. I think everything else someone else will talk about. Okay, someone else go.
Rich!
Whoa. I'm skipping over Adam.
Wow.
Well, Adam didn't want to talk about
books. We don't want to skip over Rich and talk about all his books.
Let's see. I think it's about everything. Almost everything I read, I think, Colin did, except for 7% Solution, 5 of 5. So this was the last of the Sherlock Holmes story, where he is teamed up with Sigmund Freud to solve a mystery after Freud hypnotizes him and breaks him of his cocaine addiction. So in the last issue, they're basically on to this baron who has, like, a fake baroness, and the real ones, you know, basically they've kind of drugged her and sort of taken her out of the picture kind of thing. So Holmes is on to them. So this issue picks up with the chase, which is a big train chase. They're going after him. So they catch him and they resolve the whole affair and rescue the real baroness. But then sort of at the tail end, you know, Holmes is basically like, well, I don't know what I can do to, you know, repay you or thank you. So Freud just says, well, I just want to do one more hypnosis on you. And, so he hypnotizes Holmes again, and basically in this story, they reveal that Holmes's mother had an affair, which led to his dad killing her, and the affair was with Moriarty, which explains why, like, he's so fixated on Moriarty kind of thing, is, you know, this root of all evil, every problem kind of thing. And you know, so basically then when he comes to, you know, he's like, what did I say? And they're like, oh, nothing really. It was pretty boring, you know. So Watson's, like, recounting this whole story. You know, they go back to him, and it's like after Holmes is dead and Freud is dead, then he can kind of tell the story. So he's sort of wrapping it up, kind of publishing it. So it wasn't too bad of a series. Like I said, it was kind of short, sweet. All right, Colin, I know you read Snowblind number one.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was too bad.
No, it was neat. Basic idea was kid living in Alaska, doesn't know why he's there. Dad's, like, always angry. Wasn't that how it went?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, he's sort of...
And then, well, Dad's like a drunk. Yeah.
He drank a bit.
Yeah, so...
Of course, everybody in Alaska drinks from what I've heard.
Yeah, Dad passes out outside in the snow, and kid takes a picture, and shares it with some friends, and I guess it gets up on social media. And that's when he discovers that they are actually there in the witness protection program. And that's why they live in Alaska. And by putting Dad's face on social media, oops!
Then the fun begins.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was someone showed up and tried to break into their house, but the dog kind of, even though the dog got killed, the dog kind of ruined that. And then the last thing that happens is where he follows his dad to, like, this other cabin, and his dad's, like, looking through all these pictures and, you know, seems to indicate that he had a brother. I don't know if it was a twin brother or just a brother.
Something,
you know,
yeah.
Kind of thing. But the kid had no idea because he doesn't really know anything about his parents. And he's generally disaffected, you know, a disaffected teen, which that might be a redundant term. I'm not sure, actually. But, so then at the end, as the kid leaves the cabin... trying to, because he's tailing his dad around, his car crashes, so I don't know, that's where it ends. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's going to be a...
But yeah, very interesting, it's kind of like a noir set in the, in Alaska.
Yeah, and then, the only other one I'll mention, I know you read too, is Symmetry number one.
That was interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of like there's this future sort of utopian society where artificial intelligence is basically like integrated
into your actual mind. Yeah. They actually implant something in your head, so there's this one program that is like always talking to you. I forget the name of it, but
I can't remember. It's like Reina or something.
Yeah, something like that.
It's, which is an acronym.
Like Siri, but Siri, what's this? You know, you just kind of it talks to you, it leads you through everything. It's just like you said, it's a total utopia. They're on this retreat to this place. It's kind of like
it's like a mountain
resort. Yeah, like a resort type place. And then there's this big solar flare that knocks out the main satellite, which then knocks out everybody's Reina, and everything is a disaster. They've never seen death before, stuff like that, and this huge ship that transports people, because the satellite that controls everything got knocked out. All of a sudden, the ship plows into the resort. People are dead everywhere. Just kind of, okay, utopia, and now what do you do? Because these people have zero life skills. They don't know what to do. And then the other thing is they're like always all dressed in white, and then after this crash they hear somebody saying help, help, and they go and they find this girl, and it's like a black person who they're pretending of. So it was just very interesting. Sorry, I didn't mean to steal your
book. No, that's fine. So because it starts out too with like the sort of there's a narrator, and it's actually his brother like running through the streets being chased by these, I don't know.
They're right,
like,
you don't know
robots
why.
Robots do all the work in this society. Yeah. People don't.
But that was a little bit weird, because that seemed like that was during the utopian time when he was doing the running.
Because it's like he was doing that and he's running away, and the guy's like, well, once I figured out that I loved, and I can't remember the girl's name, who was the girl that they found at the end.
Right.
My brother, died. It was like 5 years ago, so this is way into the future.
Okay, yeah.
And, his brother was trying to help them escape, whatever that means, kind of thing. It was about all this. So he basically, jumps off of something and gets killed kind of thing. And then that's where they sort of flash back to the whole, starting with, the birth and kind of showing how the society, the kids are with the parents for, 2 years, and then they go to school, and then when you're 13...
Parents never stay together because there's no family, really, and there's no...
it's just like a contract thing, relationship almost, to reproduce, and then... Once you're 13, you declare what you want your gender and your name to be.
Yeah,
and
then, that was weird.
And it was weird because, like you say, with the flashback seeming like it was before, there was a lot of stuff in the back of that one. And the guy made a comment about, figuring out how to, take a utopia and unravel it and then put it back together kind of thing. So I'm guessing that's what's, how the story's going to kind of go, but I don't know. It was okay. I'm curious about this one, so I'll see.
Definitely ended on a note making you go, okay, I do want to see what's next here.
Yeah, I can't say I was blown away, but
it was interesting.
Too bad, so. Kind of rolled out all of those. And then the other ones I think will be brought up, so that's all I got.
Dave!
Last week's Star Wars Annual... Number one, Adam, did you read that?
Yeah, it was a book.
Well, they had pages.
Some staples.
A lot of mine were actually misstapled.
Some didn't have staples.
This is This is a story about some rebel. This rebel spy, whose name is
I don't remember.
Was he a Bothan?
He wasn't a Bothan. He was a human being, Ina Bray, who has infiltrated the Empire
as a senator, right?
Is he a senator? I don't
know. I think they mentioned something.
No, the Galactic Senate was disbanded during Star Wars.
He was something. He was some sort of. He worked for the Empire in some way.
Yeah. So he's on Coruscant, and he gets word from Leia that the Emperor is going to be there, so it's his chance to take out the Emperor.
Yeah.
Which, of course, doesn't happen. Yeah. So,
It was okay. But you had no real interest in this character, and with one issue with this character, it's just like
I don't.
you know,
it's a fine enough story, really, to... I guess, but man, it just wasn't.
Yeah, and it's just like wasn't necessary. It didn't work out, and that's about it. Like, and that's basically what there can't be any more to that story.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, I don't know how it's like.
I don't know.
No Luke, no Leia, no Star Wars. It's this guy.
Well, got Leia in a hologram. But
yeah,
you
got
it.
Her, yeah. But, and, yeah, it was, that, I mean, that was basically
it. It was a book.
Yeah. It just, I thought it was going to be more. At first, I thought by the cover looking at it, I was like, oh, maybe this is them telling, like, a backstory of the Emperor or something like that. I was like, oh, that could be interesting. Because yeah, I thought, you know, because he looked kind of like he'd be like a senator or something
Marvel
like that.
Marvel would never lie about that kind
of. We already saw the backstory of the Emperor. It was called the prequels.
Oh, yeah. I mean, before that. Before he became a senator and all that, something. Yeah. I don't know.
The prequel prequels.
Prequels of the prequels.
Expanded universe.
You would have seen him born.
I also saw him in Robot Chicken. But.
Adam and robots. You can't get past the robots.
But they, it just...
were chickens.
It just wasn't necessary, I thought.
Yeah. It just
in the end. I mean, it's a fine enough. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on. A little bit better note. I read The Massive Ninth Wave, number one, by.
Obsessed with Brian.
Written
Wood.
By my favorite writer of 2015, ever. Brian Wood.
Show off.
Dave knows how to segue.
Speaking of prequels, this is a prequel to his series that was called The Massive.
Is that series wrapped up?
It's done.
It ended,
yeah.
And now this is continuing. Yeah.
Which was about a group of eco-terrorists who were eco-terrorists before the world went to hell. And there's all these ecological disasters, flooding and earthquakes. So the story, the Massive is the name of their freighter ship. And the group is called the Ninth Wave. And so it was, the Massive was a story of, you know, what good is our eco-terrorists in a world where everything's gone to hell. And this is a prequel to that. And it shows the Ninth Wave. It just is a little story of them getting back at this polluter in Hamburg, Germany, who is polluting the rivers and oceans in Germany, and kind of the story switches back between the captain of the Massive, is his name's Callum Israel, and he's having a talk with the company's owner, the corporation's owner. And then they show the other members of the Ninth Wave sabotaging his factory, so the toxic waste goes back into his factory instead of into the water. It's a good story. I wasn't that big a fan of the art. Maybe it'll grow on me, but it was.
Yeah, the cover looked a little bit like, kind of cartoony.
It was a little cartoony. Too cartoony for me, but we'll see how. I don't know how many issues this is. It will, or if it'll be a different artist next issue. But it's interesting. All the characters are very interesting. I like. It's cool to see where they are before the Massive started, and that's it. I'm gonna stop there.
Josh. All right. I'll start off with Constantine, Hellblazer. So this was a fun one-and-done series that teamed up Constantine with Swamp Thing. The whole premise was something's happened to the green in Central Park, New York, where essentially it's become cut off from the rest of the green, and Swamp Thing doesn't have any... He can't sense it at all. He can't step foot in it, so he needs someone's help to bring back his connections so he can figure out what's going on, because... the trees and the green in Central Park have been murdering people. And then after they murder someone, they just go right back to being, you know, normal, you know,
happy
trees. Beautiful looking trees.
Trees
happy
here
little trees.
So after he, you know, exhausts all other options, he finally decides to go to Constantine for help, and you see that there's, you know, definitely some tension there from their history. We've seen some of that in previous books. But it was fun. Like, the dialogue, the interactions between the two were fun, with Alec Holland Swamp Thing just flat out saying, like, to Constantine, well, you're kind of an asshole. why are you making me take the subway right now? Like,
because he's kind of an asshole.
Yeah, it's just... It was a fun one and done book, and it ends with what looks to be leading into a new arc for Constantine.
Okay.
With Papa Midnight getting involved in essentially.
These last two have been one and done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it ends with Papa Midnight having the guy that Constantine has been seeing captured.
Okay. Oh yeah. The bartender.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is this gonna? And well, maybe we don't know yet, but is this going to play into the Swamp Thing series that comes out?
No idea. I doubt it, since it's a one shot.
Okay, so like to be continued in Swamp Thing number one.
No, it's completely wrapped up.
Okay. I bet they're going to focus on just telling a Swamp Thing.
He took
thing
out
story.
The bad trees.
Yeah. Yeah, it was tree nymphs.
Pruned them.
And because there's been more magic in the world than there had been in a while, that's what caused these new tree nymphs to be born. But there wasn't ancient ones around to kind of teach
guide
them.
So yeah.
They were feral at first, and yeah, it was good. It was a good story. I really liked the art. There were some panels that really focused on Swamp Thing, and the art and the panel layout really harkened back to the Scott Snyder, Yannick Paquette Swamp Thing run.
Okay.
Which one thing I loved about that run is where the panel layouts and how he arranged things, and with all the, like, the vines and growth between panels and. No, it was good. It was
really I enjoyed cool. that, and then when somebody tried to ape it, either it was an Animal Man, or it was during that event afterward, and they, like, were trying, but it didn't work out at all. Yeah, kind of funny.
Robin War tie-ins. So there were two, like, major tie-ins last week with Grayson and Detective Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
One of those books did it really well. One of those books was just so-so, I think. I thought Grayson was phenomenal.
Yeah, I would agree. And I'm not a Grayson reader, and I really like that. Like, that almost makes me say, you know what, I'm going to give it another
Grayson
shot.
Grayson was really, really good. It had all of the, you know, originals, as they kept calling themselves, the original Robins, taking in all of the, you know, new so-called, you know, We Are Robins, which... This book depicts there being a lot more than we see in the book
We Are
Robins.
Yeah, it's not just four. It's like there's 50 of them.
Yeah. But it has them taking them in and training them. And it was cool seeing, like, each of the originals, you know, training methods and, you know, just their dialogue, talking about their time with Bruce.
Yeah.
And it almost had, like, a training montage feel to it. I really loved
like
the Red Hood.
Movie.
Yeah.
I love the Red Hood, like, training session where... I forget the kid's name that he's...
It's
the kid with the mohawk.
Yeah.
And, like, he says, his go down each of his cars and take a wheel, and the guy kicks back with a actual wheel and a steering wheel, and he's like, I don't know which one you meant, so I brought both. I'm pretty sure you meant this, but I thought it sounded cool.
Yeah. It's just that he chose that task for of all tasks.
Yeah.
It was a really, really fun book. It had a bit of a twist in it, because it ended with... all of them being captured by the police.
Yeah. Which was Grayson's plan.
Yeah, you found out someone was leaking information to the police and kind of betrayed them, and it ended up being Grayson's plan.
Yeah.
And the thing I like, we've been seeing a lot in Grayson and through Batman Robin Eternal and Robin War, is Dick Grayson is more like Bruce Wayne than I think, you know, his character would
care
to
admit. He wants to be, yeah.
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 Yeah. I like the interaction with him and Duke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Nightwing looked like a grown-up Robin. Nightwing died, and now you're back. Well, put two and two together.
Yeah. But it was really good. And then Detective Comics focused on what's going on inside lockup with the Robins and Dick Grayson's interaction with Bat Gordon.
I thought this book did a good job. I think the thing about this book between the other book, Grayson was kind of like wanting to show you who's who in this whole event, since there are so many people. Where this book kind of got back onto the main story a little bit, not messing up the last book. You're right, Grayson was just great. But they kind of got back to the storytelling of it, the story of what's going on here. So, yeah. I just
didn't love the writing in it. Some things were kind of cheesy, like the fact that all of the Robins are locked up in, like, bird cages.
Bird cages, like, seriously?
Yeah.
What is this?
Well, they called it the bird cage.
Yeah.
That was part of the thing I didn't like. Second, why would they allow them to keep their costumes in lockup?
Yeah.
Like, that didn't make any sense.
Like, you didn't search these kids at all, so Damien had explosives on him. And it wasn't like he had them hidden.
No, he ran his mask.
He wasn't suitcasing them. He was just in his mask.
Yeah, that whole part made no... And that's the other thing. Why would you let them keep them... I would think the first thing the police would do is, let's identify these kids.
Yeah, it's just... It's one of those times where...
You're that Al Ghul kid.
It goes out of its way to make the police seem really stupid, and to also...
Well, super corrupt. Even more corrupt in Gotham City. Yeah.
And villainize the police, which... In all honesty, if you look at it, you have all these kids running around acting as vigilantes. That is something that any rational police force would try to, you know, prevent.
Yes.
But they're portraying it as them being villains because they're...
I think they've lost a lot from losing Gordon. Because he's not part of their whole leadership anymore. And now that little thing's starting to leak in, because it does seem like more and more of them are kind of questionable. Where he's not focusing on that at all. He's focusing on, how do I be Batman?
The other thing, I think this whole book and recent books have played up, you know, where the whole city's like, no more of the tactics that the other Batman used to employ, no more of this Robin stuff. Well, at the end of Batman Eternal, weren't you guys all shining your lights and everyone saying how, like,
we love Batman,
stay with Batman, we love Batman,
Give
me a break.
Yeah.
But
no, it wasn't the better of them, but I think it did get the story.
It progressed the story, just Grayson was definitely the more fun. Enjoyable
Who's
read.
The one for today? I forget.
We Are Robin.
We are Robin. Yeah.
This event's moving along pretty briskly.
It's only this month, that's why.
Yeah. Ninjak number 10. So this started a brand new arc. It's Operation Deadside. So the Deadside is like this spiritual dimension within the Valiant Universe. So I don't want to call it like the straight afterlife, but there are, you know, ghosts of people that are dead in the Deadside. But within the Dead Side, it's almost like there are, you know, distinct areas of it, and, you know, almost like
a heaven and hell.
Well, not like heaven and hell, but almost like the different levels of hell and, you know, different areas of hell.
Gotcha.
So MI6 sent a, you know, team of 20 agents and a special mystical operative in, because one of their prisoners was captured by someone from the Deadside and taken to the Deadside. And the prisoner that was captured was one of the people behind Weaponeer that Ninjak took down, the main guy that he took down at the end of that arc. Well, all the agents get killed, and only their special operative returns, who we find out was Punk Mambo, who was back in the Shadow Man series. She was kind of like the voodoo person within the Valiant U. So they send another team back in, her with just Ninjak, a smaller team, to try and, you know, recover this prisoner. So they send them in, and they end up being gone for, I think it was like weeks at a time before they came back from the Deadside. And it was a fun book. The interactions between Ninjak and Punk Mambo were kind of fun while you have all this, you know, more like serious and violent stuff going on. The book just hit a couple, you know, different, you know, genres, which was nice. And then we're seeing the return of Shadow Man in this, who hasn't been around in a while since his series wrapped up. And it ended with him being stuck in the Deadside and kind of, if I recall, it's been a while, but he was at the mercy of Master Dark, who we just recently saw in the Book of Death event. Well, in this issue, we see someone who I think is Shadow Man, who's kind of like just this minion of Master Dark, going around and trying to recover these artifacts and killing people. And we get a hint that he's not controlling himself, that Dark's controlling him, and he's trying to fight it. He sees something that kind of sparks some memory and looks like he may be fighting it. So if that is Shadow Man, which I'm pretty sure it is, it's definitely a different take on the character. I'm not sure if that's going to be a permanent take or if it's going to, you know, morph back to how he was before, but it was a solid start to this arc. It very different direction for the book, but it was a fun issue. Colin, did you read Slash and Burn?
No, two? I did not read that one.
It was good. It's one of these new Vertigo books. This picks up with the main character Roisin working with the cop to piece together the death that was in the storage locker with the fire, the arson case. Had some cool, like, almost like Sherlock Holmes detective work going on, which is kind of neat. And then we're getting some more of her background, her backstory when she was a kid in the orphanage, and the kids who were arsons, and how she got involved with them, and how her history kind of ties into what's going on in the present. But it was a really good issue. I'm enjoying this series quite a bit so far, two issues in. The other Vertigo book that came out last week, Twilight Children number 3. Did you read that?
Mm-mm.
No. Same as before. It's a really good book. The art's phenomenal. It's really interesting. But I still have no idea what the hell is going on in this book.
And there's only one issue left.
And I think once I sit down and read all four
together,
it'll probably read really well. But it's so
pretty
wacky.
Yeah.
That it's not that it's...
Wacky like hijinks wacky? Or
no.
Wacky?
No,
like
it's just...
Wacky.
Hijinks.
It's not that it's confusing or that it's, you know, hijinks. It's just, it's so off the wall that I think until it wraps up, I won't be able to get, like, a full picture of what has been happening.
Yeah.
So you're in this, like, tiny seaside town, and they have these orbs that just show up, and people go missing, and you find out they kind of go missing almost in this different plane. It looked almost like a heaven, but then one of them was able to come back from it, and some are still missing. And it's mixing, like, these sci-fi elements with also, like, these, you know, wacky, like, dramatic elements with people in the town. Like, this issue focused a lot on this woman, Tito, who previously we saw she's married, but then she's also has a lover on the side as well. And it looks like the lover and the husband know about each other. And then
it's an open marriage.
Yeah, but then they kind of feel threatened by this scientist who's there investigating the orbs. So they threaten him, and they try to get rid of him, but then the process, they all get sucked up into these orbs. The scientist comes back, but the husband and the lover are still gone.
That sounds like hijinks to me, Josh.
It's not like zany, you know, hijinks.
Paper.
I see what you're saying. But then this issue, she's trying to force the scientist to stay because that's all she has now. It's weird. It's a really interesting book, but it's really, really weird, but it's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's probably one of the best looking books out right now. And then the last one I mentioned is Unity 25. So this is the last issue of Unity. And when they announced this issue, I was kind of shaking my head over it because Unity has been Valiant's essentially like Avengers or Justice League book. It's not a comedy book at all. It's, you know, more of a, you know, serious book. This issue is a double-sized comedy issue.
Did it work?
It worked. It surprisingly worked. And it didn't make sense to me that they would be putting on a comedy issue to wrap up the series. But whenever you read it, it all fits together. So it starts off with Quantum and Woody, who are essentially like their Deadpool.
Okay.
And they are sitting with some movie executives, and they're pitching like their life story, or Woody's pitching his life story. Quantum doesn't know why he's at this meeting. And he's trying to sell, like, their life rights. And the executives, you know, finally tell them that they're not really interested in them. They don't really know who they are. But they thought that they might have ties to the Unity team. And since the Unity team works for the government, they're public figures. So any of their actual stories can be used for movies. And they want to try and get Quantum and Woody to give them the information. So trying to cash in on this, Woody decides to, you know, tell them all these stories he knows about Unity, which doesn't know any, but he's making these stories up. So that's why they all have this comedic twist to them. And they were hilarious. It was an anthology series. So each story had, you know, different creative teams on it. The first one they told involved the Eternal Warrior, and it was written by, the guys that do the Paybacks. Was it Donnie Coates and, Elliot Rahal? It was hilarious. Like, it starts off with him telling, you know, the monologue of the Eternal Warrior saying he's about a million billion years old and he snorts cocaine to calm down. And it was just like super hyper violent and you know, off the wall, like hijinks. And each section of this anthology had a very unique feel to it as he's telling, you know, these different stories to try and sell one. And mixing in like these G.I. Joe style PSAs in between things, and it was a hilarious
remember,
book.
Remember, don't do coke, and now you know.
There were at least four times in this book that I laughed out loud reading it, which isn't something that I'll normally do.
What a Unity book!
What's that?
What a Unity book!
Any like even a normal comedy comic, like I'll find something funny, but I don't normally laugh out loud while reading it. But yeah, there were at least four times where that happened with this. I was very surprised by this. It really worked. I really enjoyed this issue a lot. That's it for me. I didn't mention Batman, because I figured you might mention it.
Well, I'll wait till you do that.
Well, no, don't wait for me on Batman, only because really? I read it twice. Once I was just really tired, and I'm like, okay, I missed something here. Next time I read it, my gout medicine kicked in, and I was nodding off while reading it, so I'm like, I'm just not destined to read this. I know what happened in it, but I'm not destined to get all the nuances.
Damn you, Brisket!
Something.
Okay, well, so I'm going to... Well, let's start with that, then. Batman 47.
Joker. Sorry.
Hey, see, you skipped to the end.
Turtles.
I really like this issue. I actually really did like this issue. It felt like how Scott Snyder was writing Batman.
It was really good.
More.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it starts off where the last one ended, where Commissioner Gordon is being held up by the robot suit. And
rookie,
which he calls it, and having to deal with still with all these seeds because he has that EMP or whatever that he's using, and he's wanting to take out those and stop him, still capture him, but he has to get away from Rookie. He has to kill Rookie. I forget how he did it, though. I don't remember. I remember he did something with
had this...
it's like an adhesive in his
adhesive
launcher
that he got on his missile launcher and then disabled his legs. So he knew if he disabled his method of moving, that Rookie would try and use his missiles to get to him if he couldn't actually physically get to him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's kind of what he did.
It was neat because the way he did it, he was almost kind of thinking things through and playing it out almost like Bruce Wayne would.
Yeah.
Which is neat.
And even so, I keep wanting to call him Seed. It's
Bloom.
Bloom. Bloom was able to, was going after him and whatnot, and he still had a plan where the robot, Rookie, the helmet was still working, and he was able to implement their plan and destroy the seeds, and he was able to take him in. But, you know, that didn't last long, because then it turns out there's more than one of these guys, but I don't know what they are, if they're, like, robots, or I don't
think
they
really...
That's
why I got confused. All of a sudden, I turned that page, and there's more. I'm like, wait, what? Huh?
And I don't know, like, if they're, like, they're created by something. I'm almost starting to think that Poison Ivy might be behind this. That she created something
with
like
them
that,
Bloom,
something,
that almost makes sense.
In there that they are a plant,
the
and
only,
they're working for her. I think I don't know that yet.
The only thing that didn't make sense to me is when he captured Bloom and he has him in the bat truck.
Yeah,
he's just sitting there on the floor in a corner.
Yeah,
he's not locked up or anything. He's not even in handcuffs.
Yeah. I have the Batmobile, so now he has a bat truck.
Bat truck to leap.
Bat truck.
Bat truck would be much harder to maintain than the Batmobile.
Batmobile.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But the ending, I think, was just a really good ending.
I don't know,
Coach, should we go into exactly what it was?
It's been spoiled.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I love the interaction with Duke and Bruce.
Yes.
Duke's kind of like leading him down
the
path.
The subway, the train coming towards him was great. I just loved that. And how he just was just like, he starts questioning that. And it was just like, this issue made me like the issues before it a lot better, because I think it
tied it together.
It led up to something. And this was it, you know, a comeback. And I don't know. It was just a really good issue.
Like I know you guys have said it's gone on too long, or you want to see, you know, Dick Grayson or Bruce Wayne back in the Cowboy. To me, there's nothing wrong with doing something different.
Yeah,
I mean, no, there's been 700.
I don't. Yeah, no, no. I don't have a problem with Gordon as in this series, as much as every other series they've been throwing him at us.
Because the other series aren't doing it well.
Yeah, and I think that's my biggest. And I think you said that too. You were saying like Greg Pak couldn't, and he can't. Like, and this has gotten me to the point where I didn't read Batman Superman. I think it was last week. I don't really want to.
It's not good
because it's at that point with Aquaman with me that I was just
it wasn't
like,
bad but wasn't great.
I'm just like I don't care. Like I don't care about this little team up of theirs. It's just in the Superman stuff I don't really care too much about anymore either. So the other half is already done and now Batman. Yeah. It's just like I don't care. But
I just wish like with Superman and with Batman, I wish all these like ancillary books weren't hitting the character up against a big threat also.
Yeah.
I wish they were each exploring different aspects of that person being, you know, Gordon being being Bat Gordon and Superman being depowered instead of in these three books, he's fighting three different major villains. Like, explore different.
Well, here's different one reason why I don't like the other writers. It's how they write Gordon. They write him being very cocky.
Yeah.
And in Batman, Scott Snyder writes him as being like, he's I humble. Can't live up to Batman.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, that's the right way of doing it, because that's what it would be. And I think it just feels right to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the ending where he sits on his bench, he's waiting in the park, and somebody else comes up and sits by him and says, you know, starts talking to him, and he's like, there was an accident near here that I was involved in. And he was just like, oh, funny story, so was I, and it was the Joker. And it was just like, that was... Yeah,
no. It was good. The only problem I had with it is that Snyder said he's not going to write another Joker story, so why bring the Joker in now?
That's the thing. And unless he wanted to just throw that
out. Well, no, because that brings up other questions. Does the Joker know he's the Joker, or is he...
I don't think
he's leading into writing a Joker story, but I think he's just showing... Yeah. It just makes sense if Batman managed to survive...
The Joker. But I automatically assumed he would...
I think it's just going to be him being there. I don't think it's going to be like a Joker's behind everything and you know, that kind of thing. That would be a more Joker
story. But that's my question is, does the Joker know who he is? And is he A, trying to remember who he is? Or is he B, trying to get Batman to remember who he is?
No, I read an interview with Capullo and Snyder, and they said same thing. Like, with Joker, his mind is, you know, a clean slate, just like Bruce's was. Like, he's still the same person.
I like the eyes.
But he's not, you know, doesn't have the same personality as...
It's like Bruce. He's still Bruce, but he's not...
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't know he's Bruce.
And they did say, like, in an interview, they asked him, like, about what you just said. Them saying they weren't going to write another Joker story than having him in this. And they said that they're not planning on doing another, you know, story where Joker is, like, the main antagonist or main aspect of the story. But it just made sense to them to
bring him in,
address him where he's at, and at least like have him, you know, there in the background a little bit.
Yeah, and that's fine. It's just, you know, if you say you're not going to use the character, and that's the thing. Batman has, you know, how many villains? Let's look for somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we see another story where he's the main villain, then that's a different.
Yeah,
that's an area for concern. But
it was good.
This was good.
Yeah. Amazing Spider-Man number 4.
nope.
Yeah, this...
I'm amazing at hit number 4.
This, it's a sad day in comic books when I get close to dropping a Spider-Man book. It's just... First of all, each issue has been very repetitive. That it's all about this Zodiac and S.H.I.E.L.D., and he's helping S.H.I.E.L.D., but he runs a company. And it's been the same issue since they... But the ending, where they've thrown out one of the Secret Six, but, like...
The Zodiacs?
No. No, at the end of the book, each issue, they throw out a big Spider-Man villain.
Oh, like, okay.
And one of them, it was Doc Ock and the robot. Yeah.
The Sinister,
and one of them,
Sinister Six, you're thinking of.
Sinister Six, yeah. But, not all of them, because Green Goblin they brought out as well. What was the other one? Rhino, and then the Lizard. I think it was this one. It's just like, okay, they keep throwing them out there. But it deals with that. This issue, Spider-Man goes and helps Aunt May, who's working for his company, dealing with this little town in like Africa or something, and they're creating solar gardens there so they can grow food. And green, and the goblin comes and he gives a bunch of soldiers in that area of warlords. Serum. Warlords, they give mainly the weapons. Now, I don't know if they give them really the serum. And they're throwing pumpkin bombs, just destroying everything. And it just, there was nothing to this issue. And then you had, like, in the background, they were dealing with, S.H.I.E.L.D. was dealing with Zodiac, and it's just like, oh, how are you doing, Agent Coulson, Agent May? And I was just like, get them out of there. Like, I don't even want, like, they don't need to be there. Like, you could have been, like, any other character. Black Widow, she was there. It just didn't have to be there. It was very forced.
Was Sky there?
She could have been. I mean, they had everybody else. Might as well bring the whole crew. Just nothing's happening in this. I don't really blame Dan Slott. Well, the story-wise, I blame Dan Slott for, because he's writing. But the throwing and stuff, I think that's more of a Marvel thing. I think they're just wanting it thrown out there more, and he's just doing what they tell him to do. Batman and Robin Eternal, number 10. It was pretty good. This has just been a really fun book. It went into more. This one dealt with. Let me think. I'm getting them all thrown together because I read today's.
It's weird that Eternal, Batman and Robin Eternal, and Robin War are having at the same time.
But
I also don't think that's by accident.
It's not by accident. It's one of those things again where.
It's redefining who Robin is.
I hate when we have two stories that are going at the same time that have the core, focus of those books, like those characters, doing completely different things.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be a different time frame. It's weird to me.
Is this where Bruce goes and Batman goes and talks to Mother? It starts off with the fight with Azrael.
Yeah.
And then we find out Azrael kind of has powers now.
Something like that.
Or he can, like, drain... Or no, he can't drain
people. He makes them see their goodness or something. Yeah. But he's like an angel.
Yeah.
It's good. It's just... there's a lot in these that it's just hard to remember what happened in all of them. Batman TMNT. It's fun. It was a fun issue. It's basically the turtles show up in Gotham. And the first thing they do, they show up, they go to the sewer. Yeah, and order
they
pizza.
Did.
They did.
Yeah, they did.
But who do you run into in Gotham in the sewers?
Killer Croc.
Killer Croc. Not only that, ninjas are going and stealing technology at these big technology corporations.
Yeah, it was
in Gotham.
Powers.
The one at the end that they go up against is Wayne. And Wayne Powers. I think it's Wayne Powers in this one as well. They go in, Batman confronts them, questions them, and then the Shredder shows up, and he tells them, basically, stay out of my way. And then Killer Croc shows up in the sewer. The Turtles feel like they've been compromised. They need to find a new home. They go out of the sewer, find the Batmobile, and they're just like, oh, what's this? And then Batman shows up, and that's when they meet. But it was a good first issue. Very much like Star Trek, Green Lantern, just that kind of, idea.
It fits. I didn't like Batman's costume.
Oh, especially the first one.
Yeah, that's it. The second page or whatever.
First panel.
It pretty
really
much
bad.
Like it looked like Shredder.
Yeah.
And his head was disproportioned.
But isn't it an amazing world we live in where Shredder is going to go up against Batman?
I guess that's true.
It's a Christmas miracle.
I know, right?
Thanks, Santa.
You're welcome.
We noticed Dave.
Yeah. All right. Earth 2 Society. This was the end of this first arc where they go up against the big evil, which is actually Jimmy Olsen, which is kind of funny. And he's calling himself Mr. Impossible. His plan is he's wanting this the planet turned back into Earth for his own reasons. So he almost manipulates Huntress and
Power Girl?
No, Red Arrow, which is Oliver Queen.
Okay.
And into doing this and pushing this forward, and they're able to stop it. And that's basically what the issue is about. Coolest thing about the issue, though, is at the end, they're just like, after all of this, everybody's really, they're like, oh, they saved us. It's the Flash from this city. It's Superman from that city. And he's just like, And one of them sits there. I don't remember what character. And they're just like, I feel like now we need to form a society or something like that. Mm. And now we're getting to a justice society. So it was good. This book kind of, it's not as good as it was. The war and everything before that and Earth 2 was just, it was just a really interesting concept. This isn't bad because it's still like, it almost has that Ultimate feel, Ultimate Marvel feel, where they can do whatever they want with an Earth.
Kind of, it doesn't matter, yeah.
And it doesn't make any difference. So I think it's a really still a fun title to pick up and read. So, yeah, so the next one should be a new jumping on point where they're, you know, starting a new society, so. And then I'll leave this one for, because I know Colin's going to mention that. This one I will read for, leave for you. Star Trek Green Lantern number 6.
I thought it was okay.
I think we already mentioned this. It was good.
Yeah.
It ended a bit abruptly. Like, there was a lot of build up through the first 5 issues, and then the ending was
halfway through this issue, I think they realized, oh wait, we got to end this.
Yeah. It was one of those things where for 5 issues they talked about how big of a threat Necron was, and then Necron was beaten pretty quickly.
Easily, yeah. It's almost, and it was very convenient too. Yeah. It almost would have made sense had that battle started either on the first page or had it started at the end of the last issue. It would have made a little more sense.
Yes,
a little less build up maybe. Yeah.
But as a whole, this miniseries was very fun. Enjoyable.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was just a really fun series. I like these. I like these crossovers. I think they're doing a good job. Just it's nice that DC and IDW are doing something like this.
Yeah,
I still want to see Darkwing Duck and Batman though.
You got to have that with. I get, you know, does ID? I don't know how much IDW has in doing this.
Yeah,
it's whatever Disney I guess gives them to do. But that would be. But that's it. What do you got, Colin?
Me? Weird one called Insects. This is from, I want to say it's from Afterburn. It's Marguerite Bennett, who's done a lot of work, I think, for both companies now. She was up and comer a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
And really weird. It's about this woman who's like the wife of this lord, and she has a maid who is helping her and is also was sexually assaulted by her husband. And they're also lovers, the two women. And so they start getting it on, because it's insects, but with S-E-X in it. And they start getting it on, and like quite...
Graphically,
to the point, you know, I'm sitting and reading on the sofa with, you know, the kids up. It's like, okay, I'll have to read this later. And the maid, like something from her mouth goes into the woman like this...
That would be her tongue.
It was like a goopy egg thing. And all of a sudden, the woman, because she's like, oh, you know, if I could just give him a child, everything would be okay. And she goes, oh, I can help you with that. And then this thing passes through, and all of a sudden, she's pregnant and glowing. And you're like, what the heck? And then the husband kind of...
Right. I am like that.
Yeah.
The husband then later goes at her, you know, or she, like, starts... getting it on with her, with the husband, and passes this egg
this
thing
is
on.
Tough
to,
one for him, though.
It was weird.
He's trying to watch
it. Yeah. And passes the egg thing into him, and it
feels like you're essentially you're giving the talk to a bunch of people right now.
Yeah, no.
The weirdest version of it ever. So there's a glowing thing.
No, and then all of a sudden he's like, "What did you do to me?" His stomach explodes.
That's alien.
And. He's dead, clearly dead. I mean, it's ribs everywhere and
thing
stuff.
Jumps out
and
goes,
then there's
hello, my
then
baby.
There's a baby. Then there's a baby, and so she now has the baby. So it was weird.
I like Pat's version.
It was
story.
Really
better.
Yeah, it was odd.
His little hat.
That's Marguerite Bennett.
Marguerite Bennett. Scarlet Witch number 1.
That good.
It wasn't bad. It definitely has 6 issue miniseries written all over it. But it's not like she has hex powers anymore. Now her power is the power of witchcraft. And she can cast spells and things like that. And there's a mystery...
She became Alan Moore.
...where all these cats are turning up dead, and something happens, and she realizes that it's someone casting spells, and they've been sacrificing these cats to gain more magical power and stuff. And it felt off.
They're
it's
wanting
like,
to do that hex stuff because...
Yeah, but it's like her... It's just chaos magic. She's not an actual witch, you know. But yeah, that's where they're going with it, where she is an actual witch. It was okay. It wasn't great. It was just a real departure from her.
Her powers were almost like Franklin Richards.
Yeah, she could. Exactly. Yeah. Where this now is just saying, oh no, she's just always had the power of witchcraft.
That's
she's a witch.
Of the movies.
Justice League Lex Luthor.
Yeah,
I thought that was good. Basically, Lex has just gotten the power of Darkseid. He's got the whatever. I don't know. I guess the power of Darkseid.
Omega.
Yeah, and so it's him kind of adapting to life on Apocalypse.
I thought this woman who's assisting him.
Yeah, assisting him, but he doesn't respect her, and she's like, "I don't really respect you, but they will follow you, so I need to be here to kind of guide you."
Because she still thinks it's supposed to be Superman, which she doesn't know but she thinks it's somebody else.
But no, I thought that was
I thought it kept the Justice League story. I haven't read Justice League today, but I thought it kept that story going, where all the other ones are like mini stories. Yeah. This one actually led off from
Justice League was very good today. Another Manipul issue, but it was good.
Okay.
And then the last one I read was Violent, which was an Image book. Really good. Basically, it was... guy's out of jail, back with his wife. They have a kid. He's trying not to screw up. She has a job where all of a sudden she finds out, like, they're really strapped for money. She gets her paycheck, and it's like something's wrong with it, and she just kind of loses it. And they run into, like, their old drug dealer, and he gives her some free stuff to get him back as customer. She's like, no, we're cleaned up. We're on the up and up. And then all this bad stuff happens, so all of a sudden she's in the bathroom with the drugs, not knowing what to do. He goes to meet somebody and goes into a bar and has a beer, and then comes out and all of a sudden is confronted by cops. He smells of alcohol, goes to his car, and I guess he left his kid in the back seat, and the kid is now gone. So it's like... So they were trying to recruit him back into this life of crime, and he had gotten out. So it was good. It was very interesting. Just kind of a, you know, got down on your luck, and just nothing is getting any better for this guy.
Time I'm out, pull me back.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah. Nothing's working out for him. So that's all I got. So
what's coming next week?
What's
Colin?
Coming up next week? This is the Wednesday before Christmas, the 23rd.
And all through the house.
Yes, we have Amazing Spider-Man 5, because Adam made it sound so...
Amazing Spider-Man.
I was going to try to rhyme with mouse, but I couldn't really come up with a word for that.
Louse?
It sounds like a lot. No, I'm not going to try to rhyme the list here. We have Angela...
It's not as good as Klaus.
Angela Klaus.
There you go.
Okay. Angela Queen of Hell number 3. Astonishing Ant-Man number 3. Batman 66 meets the Man from U.N.C.L.E. Captain America Sam Wilson number 4. Daredevil number 2. Dark Knight Master Race number 2. Very much looking forward to that one. Yeah. Deadpool number 4, Pat. Dr. Mirage Second Lives number 1.
Nice.
Fight Club number 8. That's coming to a close. I didn't realize it was ending at 10. But that one's been very, very popular.
Because you're not supposed to talk about it.
Sure. Justice League of America 6, so that might finally be the next part of that. Last Gang in Town, which I think is one of the last Vertigo titles from this 12 issue. One. Yeah. Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, we'll see which one sells better, that one or Dark Knight Returns.
I'm curious what your Dark Knight numbers are for the second issue.
Yeah, so am I. Yeah. So am I, because I'm at like 110 so far on the first one. So.
Did you sell out of the hard copies too?
No, I have three left. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Out of 30, that's really good. Nameless number 6, finally back after it seems like a long break. New Avengers 4, Patsy Walker, aka Hellcat, because you
not Trish.
Previews next week. Rye number 12.
Nice.
Rocketeer at War.
Oh, that comes out next week.
What?
Rocketeer.
Yeah, and I saw a copy. I saw the cover, the subcover. The guy who did Wolverine and the X-Men, I forget his name, but it is stunning. Absolutely stunning.
Is that the cover where they're all, like, flying through?
No. I'll pull it up later. But it was really good. Saga 32, Spider-Woman 2, continuing the story of her in Lamaze. Star-Lord number 2, which really plummeted. Superman 47, Titans Hunt number 3, Transformers Holiday Special, because who doesn't like a Christmas
story of
Transformers?
This is where Optimus Prime turns into a sleigh.
Yes. Venom Space Knight number 2, Venus number 1, which is one from Boom, where the Earth needs to recolonize because, you know, we've destroyed everything, and China has already staked claim to Mars, so they have to, America and a couple other countries have to try to get to Venus, and they crash land there and have to deal with all the natural stuff there without all their equipment. And then
the Martian, but the other direction.
Yeah. China, so. And then the X-Files Christmas special, because nothing says Christmas quite like X-Files. So
how can people find you, Tom?
They can find me at the store. Just, I'm always here. Come on down. Or you can email me. You can, the website, PittsburghComics.com. Facebook, Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter, at PGH Comics. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you.
And
I think you covered them all.
I'm good.
Job.
Well, hold on now. So, if Previews is coming out next week, I'm assuming the Previews order is
there. That's what this is, Pat.
You know, I'm not sure exactly when it's done. It's not always done. It's always due the fourth Friday of the month. So
which
I didn't.
Is next
I didn't.
Friday,
it probably is next week,
which is Christmas. So that's not going to be.
So it'll probably
Christmas
be
Day.
Friday, which means I got to start working on this weekend. Woo! Yeah.
I got stuff I got to order anyway.
Well, one good thing is eBay didn't do a free listing weekend, so I won't be using all my time doing eBay stuff, which is, I mean, bad but good.
That's podcast.
We will talk to you next week, even though I wasn't planning on, so we will, because Adam was wrong.
Yoko.
That'll be the title of the podcast. See ya.
Yoko was wrong.